Welcome to the comic
zone.
What is happening, everybody? This is the Comic Zone Podcast. I'm here with our newest host of the Comic Zone. For the love of hip-hop, we got Ocean the Ghost with us.
What's good, everybody?
DJ Nike over there. And, of course, me, Mike. I need a fucking sweet name, bro.
Cluffy Dog.
Cluffy Dog.
He been Cluffy. What you mean?
Yeah.
That's so, what I met you as. I have a general rule of thumb. Unless circumstances are drastic, what I met you as, that's what you are to me.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
Nike.
You're Nike to me forever.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. So a lot of shit been happening.
Oh yeah,
in the world of hip-hop this week. I thought we'd start off there with the fucking big three beef.
So
Nike, you kind of know what's going on with that, so let just kind of fill us in.
Well, I'm pretty sure Osh knows what's going on too, you know what I mean? But basically the big three for, I won't say this generation, we'll probably,
I'm going to say mainstream hip hop of this generation.
Well, right.
So J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar. The reason they're called the big three is because they were co-signed by the big three. Drake got the co-sign from Lil Wayne. Kendrick got the co-sign from, Dr. Dre, and J. Cole got the one from, Jay-Z. So I think Kendrick took, because there's a song called First Person Shooter that was on Drake's album that featured J. Cole, and there was a line in there about, you know, the big three, and I think Kendrick took it a little salty, and maybe it's because he wasn't in the video or he wasn't on the song, and he came out and dissed both J. Cole and Drake on this song with the Future of Metro Boomin, and then, of course, J. Cole responded, apologized for responding afterwards, you know what I mean? Pulled it off his album. I understand why, because it didn't really sound like his heart was in it to me to begin with. What'd you think about that?
I don't really. I seen Marcellus Wiley say it the other day, and he said pretty much, he was talking with the Vlad about it, and first of all, Kendrick has, like, I didn't know who he has been hating on. Remember, at the end of the song with Baby Keem, fuck your top five, burn your hard drive.
Right.
Like, but who was the top five in hip hop when he's saying that? And then he's saying, there was no number ones this year. Basically, everybody's trash. And that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's been on one for a minute.
Facts.
So,
although he hasn't been dropping himself, you know what I mean?
Right. So this is the thing. Okay. So I love Kendrick. I love J. Cole. I respect Drake as an artist. I'm not really a Drake fan, but I don't dislike Drake. I don't hate on Drake. None of that. I don't really bump Drake personally, but no hate. Anyway, so I thought Kendrick's shit was, I thought the bars were hard, but he didn't really say nobody's name. To me, it was really sneak dissing.
Yeah. And which is what he accused
him of. Well, and then
he said it in that verse.
Then he said sneak dissing. Like, I feel like that. The first one, me and Nike were just talking about this. We listened to a few of the tracks, and it sounded to me like he was just asking a question. Like, it wasn't a diss, so I'm wondering
he's talking about
which
Cole.
One, Kendrick?
No, he's talking about J. Cole, right. First Person Shooter.
Oh, okay,
he's
okay.
Like, what's the big three? Is it K. Dot?
Yeah, he's
is
just...
Aubrey or
I don't feel like that
he,
was...
That wasn't a diss at all, but
like
that's what...
I didn't feel like that was a diss at all, either.
That's what he was responding to, yeah. Right? And then calling it a sneak diss, and then it's like... Well, I mean, he wasn't talking shit. He's just throwing a question out.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Drake fan like that. So I don't know what Drake may have said over the, because I know he drops hella music.
Yeah.
So I don't have a clue. He might have said something in any of those tons of verses he's done over the years. I don't know. But as far as my perspective on the whole shit, I thought Kendrick's bars were hard. I thought it was mid as far as disses go.
That's what I thought.
And then what was it, 2 days later? 2 days later, what, Cole dropped a whole entire fucking response album?
Only two of the tracks were
I don't know. There was a lot of bars in there that could have been it, that to me there were more disses than anything that Kendrick was taking as a diss.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, and the 7-minute drill was definitely harder than Kendrick's verse, I felt.
I agree.
Okay, and then to the Drake one, beat selection was terrible. I thought grading it on a scale of Drake A to Drake F, it was probably a C plus. I thought it was like Matilda's dad. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm tall, you're short. I'm big, you're small. There was like yeah, 10 metaphors basic, in the whole basic. Song. That's all. I'm bigger I get more love in your city than you. You're short. You got small shoes. You're fat. Like what?
Well, for one, I wasn't expecting him to go after more than just K-Dot.
Okay,
like,
so here's
him going to Rick Ross, and like so, I didn't even know they were beefing.
I mean, maybe it's because like okay, so I'll give Cole this. Maybe or not Cole, Drake. It was like you know, the end of like the Return of the King or any of these big saga movies where in the end they try to cram too much shit into the last one to where it kind of dilutes it. I feel like that's maybe if I'm going to give Drake the benefit of the doubt, that's what I'm going to give it. And so, like I said, if I'm going to grade it on a Drake A plus to a Drake F minus, grading it against his own work, I'm going to put it as like a C plus.
I gave it a B, and I gave it a solid B. And reason being, for one, the fact that he responded. And like I said, to me, I thought Kendrick was reaching to begin with. And I don't know how many actual sneak disses were around before. And I'm kind of a Drake fan. Like, I think he's an MC. I don't like all the singing shit he does, but like, I've been rocking with him since right when he first started rocking with Wayne.
You know successful, what I mean? Bro. Yeah. I remember I was watching on BET when I was in the joint. It was at like midnight. I don't remember what it used to be on midnight, where they used to show videos for like one hour. The Real or something like that. The Real, yep.
All right.
But, Drake, successful with Trey Songz. That was the first time I heard of Drake. But I liked Drake. I really did. I liked Drake all the way up until probably he went like super Taylor Swift on us. You know what I mean? Like, right. No hate, because Drake is like a superstar. So that's tight as fuck. And the other thing is he has a lot of ghostwriters. So
he is used.
He makes tight songs, but he's not writing all of his own shit. But like I said, Drake is a fucking superstar.
That's why say you respect him as an entertainer, but he's not.
I respect him for everything that he's done, bro. But as far as what we're talking about these disses, I thought, in my opinion, as far as songs go, none of the shenanigans away from the microphone. Just what was on wax,
right.
Strictly on wax, Drake won. Or not Drake, Cole won, and Drake and Kendrick were okay to me.
I would agree that J. Cole's disses were better.
7-minute drill was better than Drake's Kendrick's one verse.
And for one, I definitely 100%, I was just telling him, I definitely understand the whole piece. Like, I am not about fucking beef anymore, you know what I mean? Which is hilarious to me, because in my younger years, especially with hip hop, all it took was one sentence sideways.
I remember when I first started doing music, you guys was hella still into the diss tracks.
Yeah.
You guys, you and Addict and Philly Flames did one, like, right when I first started recording music.
Right. So, yeah, and like, I had been doing, like, when I first got into, like, real hip-hop, it was doing battles. So, to actually record songs and battle people, I was all about that life. Now, I'm fucking pushing 50, you know what I mean? Unless somebody really came out their pocket and said something, like, you know what I mean, seriously sideways, it's not even worth it for me to respond for the most part. You know what I mean? Because most people that would come at me would just be doing it like to get a name. You know what I mean? So that being said, I understand why Cole, because him and Kendrick were cool. You know what I mean?
Bro, they were supposed to do that collab album for the longest.
So him saying it was fucking with his piece, he wasn't sleeping. I definitely, and he pulled it off the album. I get that. You know what I mean? Respect for him for doing that. That's why I do think his verses were harder, but I can't give him the victory.
Well, it's like you said.
I disagree, bro.
His heart wasn't even in it, though.
Yeah. Like, you could tell, even in the verses, you could tell, like, there was certain, like, after he would diss him, he was like, you still my man, no. You know what I mean?
I think it started over some really dumbass shit. Like, it's not, like, true beef to me, because, like, I think the reason he responded at all is because he was the only one that wasn't on that track.
I think they responded all because they have the name to be able to do it. So why not?
Well, and I said this too. Like, what if they just kind of manufactured this?
I believe that's 100% what it is.
Just to, I would have thought
to get their
so.
Names out because they're dropping shit.
I would have thought so, but like I said, with Cole pull it back, that kind of made me.
But wonder. He still dropped the whole entire project with it.
He did, but yo, didn't he pull like he pulled
only off. One track? Only okay. One track.
All right. I was about to say, I still have Might Delete Later.
I have it. Yeah,
honestly,
I have it.
Yo, that track
that's
he
the only
Cam.
Track that he pulled
oh,
off.
My goodness.
Bro, that whole album is hard, oh. Bro.
And Cam's one of my favorite all-time rappers, so I was automatically
so,
fucking
all right, so if you got to choose, like, if there is a winner, like, who's
this
on
is
top?
My analogy. I know Nike's seen it before because we was talking about it on Facebook. My analogy is like this, and this was before Drake jumped in, so I'm going to throw him in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So my analogy is like this. It's like, you ever been at a party, and you got the drunk homie that's, like, trying to slap box or, like, always getting rowdy with everybody
yeah.
and trying
yeah.
to be tough, but yep. he's really not that guy?
Right.
Okay, so that's the Kendrick of this situation. The hyped up little dude, someone was probably whispering in his ear, and he's all butthurt about something and wants right. to slap box
yeah,
the homie.
Yeah, you going
to
let him get away with that?
So Cole is the reserve homie, chilling. And Kendrick's trying to bully him into slap boxing. Cole comes out, sleeps him with the fucking slap with the open hander.
Right.
Kendrick's people are getting butthurt about him getting slept, right? Okay, and then Drake comes in, and he's the guy in the back. And this is the guy at every single fight, the one that, hold me back, yeah. the guy that nobody can't get to. That's the Drake of the situation,
yeah,
the one who's yelling, fuck you, I'll fight all you right now. I'll fight all you.
And he stays back even though nobody's holding him back.
That's my analogy of the whole entire thing. And then Cole didn't even want to slap box Kendrick. And then he slapped him, and now he feels bad. This is my dog. I didn't even want to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to
do
this.
That's a damn good analogy. That's hilarious.
That's a good analogy.
So then
that
he feels good. Bad. Like, bro, you're my dog. I didn't want to do this.
Why'd you make me do that?
Yeah. So, and if we're looking at it from that viewpoint.
He's holding pros and peas on his
bro,
face.
If we're looking at it from that viewpoint, who won?
Cole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way I look at the whole entire situation.
I felt like Drake's tracks were they went hard as far as like the way they sounded. Like the beat was tight. Like I thought is the rhymes were good.
I
think like you said, like he really did just go after basic things, like making fun
nothing
of
was
his,
really
making
deep.
Fun of his shoe size and I mean this whole. Thing
well,
feels,
all right, yeah, but you only,
well, hold
you,
up, hold
you
up.
Only heard it once, though.
I
so.
Feel like this whole thing's a little manufactured, if, in my opinion.
In
like,
my opinion, it
like
is 100%
manufactured. They got together at lunch, and we're like, you know what would be good? And like, what? Like, you're about to drop shit. I'm about to drop shit. Let's all get ourselves out into the fucking ether.
I agree. Well,
hold up real quick. My whole problem with that is that's my whole thought process on anything that's out right now. And I'm not just talking about hip hop, you know what I mean? Like with the slap with Will Smith and fucking, like, I don't trust anything anymore.
Yeah.
Anything, and it might not necessarily be fake, but it's hard to tell because people will do just about anything to go viral these days. That's point blank. Now,
yeah.
Within saying that, the reason I don't think this one was manufactured, and the only reason is because these are the top three of the top biggest names in hip hop right now. They don't need these shenanigans in order to fucking pop, especially not Drake. Drake's
no,
gonna,
I'm just.
Drake's,
I'm,
and,
I don't
and,
think it's to get more popular. I think it's just to get them in people's heads. So they go, oh, and it, like they're hearing this shit, and then you go buy the album or like,
I don't think there's not a need for like Drake, you know what I mean? No matter
it,
what
I'm,
you think
I know
of
there's
him.
Not a need, but it boosts,
see, it boosts. I don't
to
because,
a level.
Because then people that maybe wouldn't have bought their shit because they're just not even thinking about it, they go, oh, okay, and they're hearing about this, and then they go buy it and whatever, you know what I mean?
I'll agree with both of you to a certain point. So, Cluffy, I agree with you because not all Cole fans like Drake and Kendrick, and the same with Kendrick and Drake and Cole and blah,
right,
blah,
it gets
and reversing
all
this.
Three of them
so here's the
paid.
Thing. What hip-hop has been the last maybe handful of years plus is not traditional hip-hop,
that's
which
popularity
which
content.
Those three right. artists could be considered, right? They could be considered probably the more lyrical of the mainstream artists
right.
of modern hip-hop, right?
Right?
So the thing that I think is, it's manufactured to bring attention back to that style of hip hop.
Right.
And you know, I'm all for that.
And I don't think maybe necessarily it was like Cluffy said that they all sat down one day and had lunch like, bro, let's do this. But I watched this interview with Chameleon Air one time and he was saying 50 dissed him and he didn't respond back. And then he met 50, and 50 said, bro, I threw you a oop. Like, you were coming up. All you had to do was say something. Bro, you was going to fucking dunk it to the moon. Yeah, he said, I threw you a oop, bro. You didn't take advantage. So, in a sense, this could be something like that. Not an intentional, they sat down, hey, let's manufacture a beef for attention. But, like, Kanye, if he says anything about anybody, it doesn't even matter if they dropped a project in 10 years. Everybody's going to go look him up on YouTube. Everybody's going to stream their shit because it's that attention factor to where, like you said, none of these artists need that because they all have gigantic fan bases. Mm-hmm. They could all do world tours.
And that's what,
and but like what I said, not all Kendrick artists or fans like Cole Drake, and Drake and vice versa for all the three of them.
And that, and you know, and there's people in the chat here, you know, Eric Peterson.
My dog, that's EP.
He said, you got no credibility.
And in the last, hey, hold on, EP. No, hold in up. The last, in the last, in the last live, EP, his, and I quote, he said, Osh's the truth.
Using your own words against you.
All right. Then he said, you think they need to start fake beef to get album sales? Come on, guys, stop it. No, listen, man, I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying, like, it does seem manufactured to be, like, maybe they didn't plan it. Like, you know what I mean? But they all know that if you get that kind of shit going, that it's going to have them in people's heads, and then they'll be out there ready to sell whatever they're about to drop.
Here's my thing, okay? If it's not manufactured, what is the real beef, bro? None of them are going to ever knuckle up. None of their security is ever going to fucking pull a pistol out. None of it, there's no real beef. So if it's not manufactured for sales, what is the point?
That's my point.
What is the point?
Ego.
Kendrick's in his house all mad with his old lady fucking listening to jazz all day and just hating everybody.
I think it's ego. Like, and I'm actually glad you mentioned that. When you think about their accomplishments, Kendrick has a what do they call that shit? Like a peace prize,
little man syndrome.
Well, maybe, but he's got like a Nobel. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, for his music. Fucking
the peace prize.
It's something I don't remember exactly.
For music. Yeah, they have all kinds of different categories for that shit.
Like Obama has one too. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like there's one for science, there's one for peace, like there's one for music.
I got
you. So yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
you know that fucker invented dynamite?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who?
Nobel.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know
the guy that created that prize.
Right.
You know, he, what were they calling him? Like the Merchant of Death or some shit?
Yeah, and he hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
he
did
tried to come back for like peaceful shit.
Shit, yo. I'm using that on my show tomorrow, so thank you. That's going on my radio show. I'm going to look that shit up.
It's fucking
But anyways, back to the topic.
All right. So my whole point, each one of them, like, fucking Drake's one of the biggest sellers. Like, he's got a bunch of streaming records.
Bro, he's literally Taylor Swift of rap.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say he is the biggest superstar in rap right now. There's no way around it.
And then Cole has done so many crazy things, like in Africa and shit like that. All three of them have done things that the other one hasn't done.
So nobody's on top is what we're saying.
Yes. I mean, it's like different levels.
Would you say they're equally at the same level, or like who's?
Maybe not sales, but definitely, I would say they're definitely equal.
Their impact in mainstream hip hop today, I would say they're all equal, all three of them.
So now by saying that, that's where I think it's not about, like, it has nothing to do with sales. It's not going to affect any of their money.
I think it will, bro, because like what I just said, bro, I don't listen to Drake at all. I just streamed Drake like 28 times this week.
All right. Yeah, but see, streams, let's not even get into streams. Like,
but that's
it
what
takes,
I'm saying.
It takes millions upon millions.
And they're getting that, bro.
All right. But all right, maybe.
Through this little tiny beef, bro, they're making them royalties off streams, I promise you.
There's zero substance to it. Like you said, there's no actual beef there. There's
what
no.
But I really think there was egos involved, though. You know what I mean? I'll give you that.
Maybe on Kendrick's, maybe he got.
And I think Drake's ego's in it too.
I think maybe he got his.
Drake, like I said, how Drake has something to prove.
I think he's just firing back because Kendrick came
after them. He's Aubrey from Degrassi. Who takes him serious? Of course he's got.
Right, you were in a. All right,
now let's put it like this. Also, yo, he's been, I was telling you, fucking Pusha T put him up, like put that whole shit with his son, having a kid with a sex star, you know what I mean? Adonis, you know what I mean? He's been attacked before, and everybody thinks, it's one of the reasons I think he bucked up.
See, that's real shit there, though.
That's some whole shit, honestly. Yeah, I can't really fuck with Pusha after that. Like, there's certain things, You can talk about fucking somebody's girl. You start bringing people's kids into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd had an issue with that personally, putting
business out there that isn't yours,
supposed to be your homie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that whole shit. I think that's funny that shit all started in Wyoming, by the way. I didn't get a chance to tell you that. The whole shit. So when fucking Kanye West was living in Wyoming in Cody, he was recording one of his albums. Like, he did two albums while he lived here. You know what I mean? Well, one, he came here to do it
before. I forgot he fucking lived here.
Yeah. Because he lived here for like 3 years.
It was in Jackson or some shit, right?
No, Cody. Well, the first...
Cody? He did the album release in Cody. Okay. Or in Jackson, I mean, he lived by Cody.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, he did like six albums where he produced them while he was... Like, he did one of Nas' albums that totally flopped, which I actually like that album, but we won't get into that. But he did a bunch of seven-track albums, like a couple of R&B. He did one for Pusha. He did one for himself. The year after that, he moved here. While he was working on the album in Cody, he had this big listening party and recording. Fucking Justin Bieber was there. Drake was there. Fucking Dave Chappelle was there. Pusha was there. Like, there was mad motherfuckers in Cody for this shit. And that's when, you know, if you're in a big circle like that, and you know what I mean, and you're that famous, that motherfucker probably let out, yo, I knocked up a fucking porn star, and, you know, I got a son on the way. Now, you're saying that to your friends, you know what I mean? Some of them are billionaires, you know what I mean? At that point, that was before Kanye fucked himself up, you know what I mean, with the fucked up his Reebok deal. And then you use that against me at a later date? That's some fuck shit, you know what I mean? I have an issue with that. And I know...
I have an issue with this whole entire beef. I, O'Shea Brice Beta, think the shit is lame as fuck from top to bottom. I think there is zero real beef in between these three artists. If anything, like Nike said, it's ego.
It's definitely ego.
And if it's not ego, then all it is like what me and Cleffy said. Something for them to gain traction. Because like I said, Cole dropped a whole album with it. Yeah. So he definitely got traction from it. I promise you.
Yeah. All right, yo. Before we get off this subject, this is the one that I want to know your guys' opinion for. So I heard the track that Drake did. I got to give him props for still firing.
The AI?
By the way. Yeah, the AI one.
I didn't get to hear that one.
That has Snoop and fucking Pac on it. It's real weird to hear, because, you know, these AI voices do sound just like him. It was kind of, you could tell that he wrote it because it sounded like him. You know what I mean? Even Pac's verse sounded like Drake. I am one of those people that don't like the AI.
I heard he wrote like the lyrics for those, and then just had
ChatGPT
like put it in their voices. Yeah. So he actually wrote those. So that would explain why it sounds like, you know what I mean? It's not something that Tupac would have wrote.
The hell no.
I think the same thing as Snoop did. Snoop's response when he listened to it was, he did the little video. He's like, oh yeah? You think so? And that's all he said. That was his whole entire response. It's like, bro, really? You're just making up shit just to sound tight?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that's all he did, but
which
whatever.
Is funny. Like, I kind of understand. I mean, I don't condone, but I understand him doing it for Pac. You know what I mean? Just to say he did it. I don't know why. You're big enough where you could have called Snoop. You know what I mean? And been like, hey, big homie, would you do this for me? Or I'll pay you. You know what I mean? I don't know how close Snoop is with KDOT. Like, I know they're both California niggas, so maybe he wouldn't have. But I am, like, of all people that could get a Snoop feature for nothing,
I don't know
why he didn't do it.
Now, as far as if we're going off, like, pettiness and social media-wise and all the behind-the-scenes bullshit, Drake's winning.
Yeah, he's 50 cent in the game
social,
right now.
His social media game right now is ridiculous.
His reach is further.
No,
he's just doing
it.
Way more active with the trolling.
Which is funny because he said in there that, what do you say about Twitter and that's for hoes? And
yeah.
He said some shit about...
No, he's Aubrey from Degrassi. I think like he has to have something to prove because he's Canadian, he's Jewish, he was on a fucking kid show, you know what I mean? All these things came up as the singing hook guy, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think... And now he's all swole, mansion, got bitches signing NDAs. You know what I mean? I think he has something to prove.
He's on top of the world.
So he's got so much money and ego that he thinks no one could fuck with him. The only thing separating him and Kanye is Drake has someone around to tell him to take his meds and Kanye don't.
Fair enough.
And, yo, honestly, man, How do you lose fucking $3.8 million in one day?
There's no one around to tell him to take his meds.
And that is fucking the craziest thing to me.
You can literally, bro, like, watch his trajectory to the day his mother died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's insane to me. Like, I understand fucking surrounding yourself with yes men, but somewhere along the line, you should have at least one or two homies, family or something.
The last thing you want is yes men, dude.
That's all Kanye has. That's all Kanye has. You ever seen how his wife dresses, dog? All Kanye has is yes men.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Like,
and
yeah.
That's fucking sad.
And where were they? They were in fucking like Paris or some shit, right?
She's been naked ever
since. Yeah, yeah, bro. Ass crack hanging out. That shit is random shit's covering her titties.
Yeah, yo, her parents can't, like, they've checked Kanye. Well, hell, tried. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so. Yeah, how you gonna. So since we're on the subject. Now we know kind of all, I mean, anything we just want to add to it before I switch to something kind of related?
Well, hold up. Let me go to the chat real quick. All right. Let's touch base with the chat. All right, let's see. We got Anicio Bernard. He says, Cole speaks from the mind, Kendrick speaks from the soul, and Drake speaks from the heart. I don't know.
That's kind of tight. I mean, that's kind of tight because, like, well, none of us are really tearing them down, right? We all acknowledge their greatness. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like that comparison.
Yeah. Then Lee Webb, he says, of course, there ain't no real beef. Kendrick has been irrelevant because he ain't
dropped
shit in forever. Yep, that's true. But I don't fuck with Drake, but you got to fire back. And I agree with that. He was in a position to fire back, especially after Kendrick did what he did. And then, like, because I don't think Kendrick had any grounds to do that other than going, oh, but what about me? You know what I mean? And then, so then, of course, you got to, like, say something back. But maybe saying nothing at all is a bigger diss in itself. Like, you're irrelevant to me.
Now my personal feelings on rap beefs, when it just is related to me, that's how I feel, honestly.
Right, yeah.
I'm not famous, so if a famous person disses me, I'm about to blow up. So that's tight. I'll take that all day. 10,000, straight right. up. But if anybody on my level disses me, bro, it's like, you can hit me on Facebook Messenger, because I'm not famous. You can find me, O'Shea Beta. Everybody knows me, mm-hmm. or knows how to get a hold of me, mm-hmm. and there's no reason why anybody should rap.
Yeah, you're gonna respond personally, so...
All right, yo, now I will say, like I said, I'm a battle rapper by nature.
And your boy, your boy Eric said he's not trying to, where is it? He said, where the fuck did it go? Oh, he says, no disrespect to any of us, and Osh knows that he's playing. But,
yeah, no, that's my dog.
Yeah, but you guys never see eye to eye. So.
We don't. Hey, we're both Aquarius, we disagree on everything,
fuck me,
bro. It's crazy.
Me and you disagree on a lot of things, too, but we're still fucking homies.
You and me, you say.
Oh, yeah, all the time. So it's like, yeah, no worries
there,
bro.
What else we got in the chat? I want to switch gears. Or stay on the same lane, switch gears.
And then, yeah, Eric says they're just, the beef is over them seeing who's the best. And I, like... fair enough, but that's not real grounds for a beef. That's just like arguing. You're just
it really is because who's no you're not ever gonna get
it's not
you're not gonna get Drake fans, hardcore Drake fans, to think that J. Cole or Kendrick is better than him and vice versa.
Fact,
it's not they're not gonna
yeah you're never gonna settle
mind.
That
no
like you're never gonna
it's
settle.
It's how many 30 years later and you still got people arguing over who's better, Tupac or Biggie,
mm-hmm. right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that however I will say, and I lived through this one, I don't you were probably born, but I don't know how old you were.
I was born in 87.
All right, yeah, you were definitely born. He's
just a baby.
I remember the Jay-Z fucking Nas beef. And as far as being alive for a beef that actually was, this was like a whole city thing because it was New York on New York. I was in New York City for that weekend when Jay dropped, what was the first one? Well, it wasn't the first one, but the first one that was on, I think it was on the Blueprint, where he was talking shit to Nas and Mobb Deep. And then... 2 days later, it wasn't even 2 days, it was the next day, 24 hours later, fucking Nas dropped Ether. And I remember listening to, that's when people actually listened to the radio 24/7.
I don't know why you'd go after Nas or Mobb Deep.
Well,
for that
this is
when you're Jay-Z, that's why you would.
Yeah. So the, so we're talking arguably the two largest live names in New York City at the time. I remember people that were, oh, it's The Rock, ROC, Jay-Z forever. And then after Ether dropped, even there were Jay-Z fans that were like, ooh, they were he got him. Well, you know what I mean? I don't see, like what you said, for one, hip-hop ain't in the same lane with the you know what I'm saying, as far as fans aren't the same. So like you said, no matter what any of them says, it's not going to change their fan
hip-hop
base.
Switched kind of from the battle nature in like the mid-2000s when it went to when 50 blew up, when Lil Jon blew up, when Weezy was on literally every single fucking song, and T-Pain blew up. Yeah. That's when it switched more to what I call like vibe rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't as... I mean, Weezy, you still had your lyrical artists out there, so I'm not going to say they weren't, but it was more on a vibe tip. You know what I mean? Everything was more about getting fucked up and partying and shit like that. But anyways, what I wanted to say was, in all rap beefs in hip-hop history, which one left the biggest imprint on you? You kind of started on the Jay-Z Nas thing. Was that the one for you?
I think that was the biggest one. The Biggie and Pac one was big, but... it was also manufactured. You know what I mean? It was never a East Coast, West Coast thing. It was a
Death Row, Bad Boy.
That was Bad Boy, Death Row. Yeah.
That whole East Coast, West Coast shit, and like Snoop has said, this is like...
They had Death Row East. How could it just be East Coast, West Coast?
That was something that like started, and then it got blown up way out of proportion, and then it just spiraled out of control.
Who'd they give credit to? The Source for blowing that up?
No, it wasn't The Source.
The other one.
Vibe.
Vibe?
Yeah,
because
it wasn't Double A. It was Vibe. Vibe is the one that blew that up.
They're the one who did the first East Coast, West Coast.
And then the fans run with it.
Well, I mean, when you, bro, if you don't live in New York or L.A. at that point, what do you really do if you're not, all the news you're getting is from Vibe?
Yeah, the internet wasn't, there was no social media.
No, yeah, I agree.
So all you have is the magazines and the interviews and shit. I remember, bro, I used to collect like every single Double XL for the longest,
and Source media. Oh, yeah. I still have them in boxes.
No, I agree. It's just, I think... And like even like Snoop was saying, he's like, at some point, he was just like, I'm bowing out. Like, because like I can't... Like, this shit's getting dangerous, and it's not even over.
And that's what he was saying. It was like people were getting shot at that point in time.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fucking get shot over this shit with
no, fuck no.
So I want to stay, stay with this, though. So what was your most impactful one to you, rap beef in hip-hop history to you?
The most impactful, I would definitely say it was Nas versus Jay-Z. As far as one that I think was... that lasted longer, you know what I mean? It was definitely the Death Row versus fucking Bad Boy, because motherfuckers died during that, even though their deaths had nothing to do with the beef. But like, I was in Japan when Pac died. The day I came back to the States a year later, Biggie got shot, you know what I mean? So that was probably a bigger impact, but that wasn't just about the beef, you know what I mean?
Right, there was a lot more shit going on. What about you, Cleffy?
Impactful to me or impactful to
what
the
was
industry?
One that you was just like, you was fully invested into it, like you couldn't believe that it was going on, or that you was just riding so hard for someone that you had to hear everything?
The one that I thought was the funniest, I'll say this, like the one that I thought was the funniest and most entertaining was actually the between ICP and Eminem.
Okay.
Like, that shit was fucking funny as hell. And so, like...
You're a Midwest white boy, though, so that makes 100% sense.
I'm just saying... Oh, come on, man.
I'm just being for real.
I mean, just... It was funny, just the way that they... I mean, because they did it not only in diss tracks, but then they're doing, like, skits and shit.
Yeah.
And like it
they're
was just
doing shit on stage too, like that. I mean, Eminem on the Up and Smoke tour, Eminem brought up the blow up dolls with the ICP masks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And then give it back to Shaggy. He was sucking it better. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, Violent J.
I remember all that. I was in eighth grade when that album came out.
So I'm trying to think of like beefs.
Just that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Just one that you was like fully invested in that you had.
One that annoyed me, or is like what Joe, like I guess it wasn't like a full-on beef, but like one that like tried to get started was like Joe Budden
with who
talking shit about Eminem as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like trying to start shit he tried to put him on with Slaughterhouse.
He didn't try. He did.
He did.
I mean, he was already...
Slaughterhouse kind of did not take off the way that he wanted it to.
Well, maybe not.
And it should have.
It should have. But they did. They still had two albums on fucking Aftermath, you know, on Shady Aftermath. Two. So they got paid. They and I will tell you this, like what you were saying, you know what I mean? Like with the beef thing. I was already a fan of each individual member of Slaughterhouse before they
I liked
up.
A couple of them, and I didn't hear a Joel Ortiz until Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, and I get that from you being out here. Being a New York fan, you know what I mean? Like, that was big for me. So I was, and honestly, next to like MJ and Nas, I think fucking King Crooked Eye is, he's in my top 10. For
as an artist,
as a lyricist,
yeah, no, like yeah, Crooked Eye, King this, Crooked, yeah.
That motherfucker, he wrote. He wrote some of the raps for the Wu-Tang Show. You know what I'm saying? Like, not their songs, but like, you know what I'm saying, like the freestyles. Like, that's insane when you're from Cali and you're writing fucking lyrics.
He
for
is
an East
insane.
Coast show.
He put on Horseshoe Gang, and they're like
his brothers. Those are his blood brothers.
Yeah, hella lyrical.
All five of them niggas.
Yeah,
I would say most influential on the industry. I mean, then the biggest beef would definitely be the Big and Pac one.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But then we got Lee Webb in the chat. He said,
"That's my cousin. What's good, fam?"
He said 50 and Ja.
Oh, that was a big beat. One.
Bro, they're still 50 still trolling Ja to this day.
20 years later.
He stays trolling everybody. That dude is fucking hilarious.
Yayo. You know what I mean? Has been on Vlad. Like, I watch DJ Vlad.
I like Tony Ayo.
I will say Vlad talks sideways sometimes. You know what I mean? But I still love the people.
Here's the one thing I hate about Vlad, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but every single DJ Vlad interview, it doesn't matter when this person was born,
right,
what city, if they're from a major city or what ethnicity they're from. I want to start from the top. When were you born? And what was that like? And so when did crack hit your city? It's right. Literally like the third fucking question every single fucking interview. I hate
but
that.
But it also depends on the age range of the people he's talking about.
It doesn't, bro. He'll hit up these old block cats. Oh, so your dad was when crack hit your city is when you started noticing. I swear to God, every interview, bro.
Yo,
now you'll notice it.
I've always noticed it.
You're right. But like, I have heard of.
Bro, I swear, everyone, Mexicans, black dudes, white guy, it doesn't matter, bro. If they're from New York, Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, LA.
But that was a big thing, yo.
I get it, bro, but bro, there's other shit to talk. Like, even half the time, they're like, well, I don't even have nothing to do with that. But did you see the effects of it?
It's
just
lazy.
It's a narrative he's trying to push, bro.
It's lazy interviewing.
It's a narrative he wants to push so bad, bro.
Maybe. Here's, like I said, I ask the same questions, too. For people that if they don't know who they are, like, I'm not gonna, like, I've been blessed to been able to interview, like, some A-listers. So,
right,
like,
right,
Snoop,
right.
I wasn't gonna ask him, you know what I mean, like, what happened to your murder, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things I know people automatically are gonna know.
Well, and he's been asked that a fucking million times.
Yo, but there's been other people that aren't as big, you know what I mean, that I might ask them some history questions. So, yeah. I think it kind of depends, but we're not even gonna get on that.
Right, point was...
Yayo's one of his regular guests, and he had him and Uncle Murder on there.
Mm-hmm. I seen that one.
It was hilarious watching them argue today. I watched that shit.
I was watching them argue on Instagram.
Oh, they were doing it on there too?
On his bro, the dude was like, bro, they've been at this for 4 hours.
Yeah. one thing Yayo has always said was that they're like, because 50's had beef with other motherfuckers. 50 and Fat Joe.
He had beef with Floyd.
Shit was hilarious.
Bro, he came in the game beefing with the Supreme team.
He's like, if you can read...
Came in the game beefing with the Supreme team.
He said, if you can read one chapter out of Harry Potter...
Yeah.
And then he's like, I know that the Harry Potter is going to be hard for you, so we'll say one Dr. Seuss book.
All right.
But hold up.
I want
to answer Lee's question. Hold on, before you go any further. Yayo has said, of all the beefs, 50 has squashed them. Like, he's cool with fucking...
I think he said the Fat Joe one, huh?
Yeah.
Him and Fat Joe
are good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Him and the Locks, like Jadakiss and all them, they're good now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yayo said there will never, ever, ever be a fucking Ja Rule and 50 Cent fucking makeup. It'll never happen because of some of the shit that happened that they won't talk about over there. You know what I mean? So some real shit happened.
Real quick.
So I want to go.
Lee says, I love this. Thanks for this 100%. And we appreciate you, brother. Thanks, like, sir. Thank you for watching.
And you said Eric said something. What'd Eric say?
He hasn't said anything in a minute.
I wanted to argue. I'm just playing.
Eric, get in here, bro.
I'm just playing. But I wanted to say
This dude, Jeremy Cisneros,
that's my
Cisneros.
Brother.
He said crack is still a thing. Well, like, of course.
Of course it is.
But we're just talking about it's lazy.
DJ Vlad interviews.
Yeah, we're talking about, like, that's it, just lazy interviewing.
In my opinion,
on his...
because I've watched so many of his interviews, to me it's a narrative. Because he's very wrong on a lot of his shit. It's like he rides with the urban legends.
Yeah.
He rides with a lot of that shit like it's fact. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. Well, I wanted to stay on the impactful rap beefs through our lives.
It's your turn, yeah. So go ahead.
Okay, so to me, the most impactful one, the one I had to have every single fucking part of, and they did a whole entire mixtapes, is when 50 first blew up with Shady Records versus Murder, Inc. They dropped the Green Lantern mixtapes.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, you can't even find those no more. You could find the third one, but it was like the conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I missed the mixtape.
Yeah, it was three of them. DJ Green Lantern mixtapes where it was, bro, every single song. And then after that, when Game was going in on G-Unit.
That shit was hilarious.
Bro. Like, he came out 100 bars and running, 300 bars and running, 500 mm-hmm. bars and running. And then, like, five whole entire mixtapes just going in, bro. Here come the G-Unit Crips, call the cops. Bro, he remixed every single song that was popping in hip-hop mm-hmm. and just went in, bro. Track, 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 track. Made a whole DVD, the G-Unit DVD, bro. Me and my homies watched that shit like a bazillion times. I bought Hurricane shoes. I bought Hurricane shoes. Bro, I bought Black Wall Street shirts.
Yeah. Oh,
bro.
Man, me too.
Just because of that beef, bro.
That, I gotta say that G-U not. Yeah, the G-U not. That shit is fucking...
Bro, go get on YouTube one night, Cluffy, and look up that DVD, the G-U not DVD, bro.
You can finally find
that
on YouTube.
This was trolling before the internet was real big. He made a whole DVD driving by 50's house. Look, check it out. He's talking about how 50 wasn't paying the G-Unit members nothing. 50's making all the money, right? So he's like, we're about to drive out to 50's mansion out here. Is the one he bought from Mike Tyson in Connecticut. It's out in the woods in Connecticut, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So he's like, oh, we're driving up on 50's mansion. Boom, they drive by. He's like, look, there's 50's mansion. And then he drives about like maybe like 200, 300 more yards. And there's like a park gazebo. He's like, oh, look, there's Tony Yayo's pad.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's funny as
but
fuck.
But those DVDs, and he's all in New York, like walking through New York, through Queens, with like a whole mob of people following him, talking about fuck G-Unit. You got to watch that. Those was
that,
two.
Yo, that was one. That he was real tight with Dipset. Like,
yeah, like hella tight. Hella tight. Bro, the first time I ever heard of Jim Jones in the game was on Certified Gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I personally ever heard of those two.
Hell yeah, that's a good one. Good. Yeah,
but those are my two, the ones, bro. I'm talking about every, bro, between those two beefs, between the Ja Rule and Shady Records and the G-Unit shit, that's like 10 albums or 10 mixtapes, bro. It's so much shit. DVDs, bro, so much shit. So I those was ones I was like fully 10,000% invested in. Mark, I don't know if you know, remember Mark Fleming? He's a teacher now at K-Dub, but back in high school, he was my best friend, bro. And me and him, like, bro, we lived for that shit. Every single mixtape, bro. But yeah, I wanted to ask you guys that because that was one that came on my head on the way over here.
Yo, and Game's been one of the few people and when I say survive, I don't mean like survive like he's alive, but his career has not been hurt by beefing with 50. You know what I'm saying?
He's got longevity.
I love Game, bro. Somebody was saying something on the internet the other day about how Game fell off, and I was like, well, damn. In my head, I was like, I love Game.
When?
But I haven't really kept up on Game's because he's another one of those artists that drops.
And then he stops for a little while?
No, he's still been dropping.
Yeah,
I have every Game album. And I will say, lyrically, they've all been equal. I think some of his beat choices have fallen off here or there because, you know, he's fallen out with Dr. Dre, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, when you've got one of the best beat makers arguably on the planet.
But I said, what I was going to say about the Game was he made it through the 50 shit
unscathed.
Basically unscathed.
Yeah.
But he's also, oh yeah, oh yeah. Somebody on the internet was saying that Game fell off, so I was like, damn. Well, in my head, I was like, damn, I haven't listened to him in a minute. So I went back, just hopped on straight on iTunes right there.
Right.
Pulled up his last two albums in a row, straight fire. Stupid fire. Game is fucking hard, bro. Still. He just isn't getting the or maybe himself, he's just not pushing his own shit to where it's getting like that attention, that spark, I think, you know what I mean?
Because once you get to the point where, once you've hit that platinum selling point, you're already going to have a fucking loyal fan base, and he's independent now. So it's not like he's on Aftermath, Shady, G-Unit. He's got an independent fucking label. So he's going to make a certain amount of money off dropping, period. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to make $1 million off anything he ever drops. You know what I mean? And there's certain artists that have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, everybody loves fucking, what's that nigga that got shot?
All of them?
Yeah, that was killed, the Crip nigga.
King,
Nipsey.
Oh, okay, not Pop Smoke, my bad.
Nah, I love Pop, by the way, you know what I mean? But no, but Nipsey Hussle, you know what I mean? Like, that motherfucker he did it underground the entire time.
Yeah.
And he had a big following, but I think if you've had a big following and you've had a major label and then you go independent, you don't lose your fucking your fan base just because you went independent. So I don't think he doesn't have an Aftermath Shady to be throwing out fucking commercials on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. You know what I mean? But he still has a definite fan base so much where he's still dropping shit and them shits are still fire. Matter of fact, he said on Vlad, you know what I mean? He was like, yo, I remember, and it was funny that Vlad fucking put him on blast for it. He was like, but I remember when you were younger, you dissed Jay-Z for being 36 and still rapping. He was like, you're 44 and still dropping albums. He was like, yeah, and I'm blessed to do it. He was like, you grow. You know what I mean? Like, you think, because everybody always says hip hop is a young man's game. I think it was.
I think it used to be.
It used to be. But you got to, yeah. It's only 50 years old. The entire genre, it's the newest genre of music, period. You know what I mean?
But you got to think, bro, maybe not the original front row hip hop artists are still dropping, but like them first big name artists are still, Snoop's still dropping.
Yeah.
And he's been in the game.
Oh my good. Yo, did you hear that new Dog Pound shit? Oh, that shit is fire. I saw it because Crooked Eye posted it. If you haven't had a chance, check that shit out. It's Daz Corrupt and Snoop. That shit is fire. That shit is fucking fire. And them niggas is all fucking blued up on that shit. And I still...
Okay.
I've been bumping that shit.
Same lane, different gear. Best diss track of all time to you. Mine, I'll go first since I'm there.
All right.
Mine is... where Eminem went on Benzino.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be like this. I don't really want to hurt no feelings. You never heard that one?
I think so.
Bro, he just goes in on Benzino being old and fucking fell off. And, bro, he just went out so hard, so hard. I would never claim to be no Ray Benzino, an 83-year-old fake Pagino.
Yeah. Check that shit out.
How could he hold me over some balcony without throwing his lower back out as soon as he goes to lift me? Please don't, you probably fall with me, and our asses will both be history. But then again, you finally get your wish, because you'll be all over the streets like 50 Cent.
Woo!
Bro, I remember that shit like 20 years later, bro. That is the hardest diss track.
Yo, Lee, I haven't bumped that one lately.
The one against that he did against Limp Bizkit, that was hard too.
Oh yeah,
girls.
Yeah, that shit's fucking funny.
Why
dude.
Do you act this way?
Yeah. That one was just funny to me. Bro, yeah. I mean,
Eminem is the king of diss tracks. Period.
Oh yeah,
but to
100%.
Me, top like, notch.
His
best
shit against
ever.
Cannabis.
Well, and then the one he did with DMX and Obi Trice, die, bitch, die, motherfucker, die. Yeah, yeah, Eminem is the king of diss tracks,
shit,
bro.
That song goes hard as fuck.
But yo, which brings me to what I was saying. He started off as a battle rapper. You
yeah,
don't
yeah, yeah.
Want
that's
to
in him. That's
a
in
battle
him.
Rapper.
That is
yeah,
who
you
he
know
is.
What I mean?
Yeah,
see,
I mean,
I didn't even want to be a rapper when I started, so I can't. That's not even my lane at all.
But yeah. But you appreciate it though.
Yeah, so no, I do it, as an art, bro, for sure. It's like this. So I don't watch soccer or hockey. I don't like them. They're not entertaining. However, I cannot say that those people are not finely tuned athletes and the best in the world at what they do. For me to take that away from them is ignorant. However, just to me, I don't like sour cream. I don't put it on my shit. Not everything's for everybody. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
When the battle rap shit, it's cool to appreciate, but it's not my lane in rap.
Word up.
So Lee says Ice Cube, no Vaseline.
That was a good
That's
one.
My number two all time.
Yeah. And that's a good pick for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. What was Common's response to that? Because I think Common got him.
I think Ice Cube was interviewed about that recently, and someone told him that Common got him or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something like that.
Right.
I never heard Common, so I can't even comment on it.
That was actually the first time I'd ever heard Common actually battle. Like, you know what I mean? He's always been that conscientious rapper, and he kind of gave it to him on that one. So, all right, so who's yours?
What's popping to mind, like, recent, like, well, not recent, but, like, within the past 10 years or whatever, is, like, on the topic of Eminem, MGK. You know, and then that Kamikaze album was pretty good front to back. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think M's problem has never been his lyrics either. I think sometimes his beat selection isn't the greatest either.
Yeah, his beats sometimes.
When he started making his own beats, they kind of,
yeah, after,
they're 50-50.
It's the same thing with when he's away from Dre, you know, those beats, like, kind of fall off. But
some,
like you said, lyrically, he's always on point. Like, it's some of the things he does, I'm like, what, you know what I mean? Like, some of those tracks, and he's like, I'm trying to think which track I'm thinking about, but, like, when he's trying to go, like, going too fast, or, you know what I mean? Like, he got on that, like,
well, that's
super fast.
I get that from a, that's a personal aspect. I like it when he does. I'm not a big,
I don't always hate it.
Yeah,
I'm
not
saying,
big,
like,
on fast rap overall. You know what I mean? That's why Tech, I respect what Tech does. I respect when Busta does it. I respect when fucking,
oh my God,
does it.
I'm glad you said, did you hear his latest album? It didn't just drop, it dropped at 2023.
Not the,
bro,
whole
he's
thing.
Got Kodak on, bro. I just listened to it on my way to Denver, the Nuggets game the other day.
Right.
Check it out, bro. So hard.
All right, we'll
so
check
hard.
That out.
All right, so.
Before we get off of the MGK thing, he definitely did not win, but he fired back.
MGK came hard for sure.
And it was way harder. Like, honestly, he had one of the best responses to Eminem ever.
That's a fact.
And if you got people saying, like, there's people on both sides or whatever, and maybe it was the younger people that were saying that MGK won that.
No.
But
the MGK fans said MGK.
Yeah, you
got to
give the respect that he had some good shit in there.
He really did. No, that was probably the most solid diss track I've ever heard against Eminem.
But then,
ever.
I mean, Eminem.
Benzino just dropped two, like, a few months ago, and they were straight trash.
And look at him now. He's wearing fucking pink and, you
know.
Hey,
Cameron wears pink. Oh, yeah, Nike wears hella pink.
Yeah. Watch, I got pink tattoos.
No, but you're not dressing like that. Like, he just went, he just quit rapping.
Who?
MGK. Like, he's out there
switched to rock after that. Yeah.
He's out there doing punk.
Yeah, I
music
don't know.
And shit.
I was never into MGK before or after. So.
He had some good tracks, like My City.
I don't even know an MGK song other than the one where he went at Eminem.
One of his early ones is My City, and that one's pretty
legit. I fucked
with
him a little bit. You know what I mean? For one, he was signed to Bad Boy, so he was doing shit with
the Diddler.
Montana.
The Diddler.
But I remember when he came here the first time, you know what I mean? He was opening for Tech N9ne. And you know what I mean? He was just starting to get a nationwide buzz. He was so fucking humble, you know what I mean? He came back a year later and he did that show at fucking Elevation Sidelines, you know what I mean? And he was a total dick, you know what I mean? I was like, oh man, come on, dog. You're making it hard for me to like you as an artist after 1 year, and you know what I mean? You changed that much in a year, motherfucker? You didn't blow up that big, bitch, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that was before he was beefing with him, but I still gave him his props. Like, that was definitely the best Eminem comeback ever. And speaking of, M did just drop, a couple weeks ago, he did that Doomsday Part 2 on Lyrical Lemonade, did a video for it.
Yeah.
And actually had a couple bars going against Benzino. And he was like, oh, guess that Coi Leray fucking features down the trash.
Yeah, because Benzino's been out there talking mad shit.
He can't get over it, bro. That's the, you know what he's like? He's like the bitter ex that cannot get over it. They've had a million currents in between, and all they do when they're with somebody is cry about that ex from 10 times ago.
But
that's,
you
want to
know why?
Yeah. Because it was the best thing to ever happen to him.
It was the worst thing that ever happened to
him. He's just trying to keep
it
going.
It was the biggest thing that ever happened.
Just trying to keep it going so he stays somewhat
relevant. You got to think, yo, Benzino was the brains behind the Source magazine. His name wasn't attached to it. Dave Mays was. But if it wasn't for Benzino, the source would not have been what.
But nobody knew Benzino as a rapper.
But that's like fucking.
Yeah, we knew. You know what I mean? No, we knew. You might not have.
I don't know a Benzino track.
That's. I feel like it's the same thing with fucking Joe Budden. Like the reason he talks so much shit. It's just like because nobody's gonna be talking about.
I don't know how he got so much credibility.
No, me neither. I don't either.
He had one big track before fucking.
I don't. It wasn't even like who Joe Budden is claiming to be that track. It was like a club track.
And who he
and
was,
he wouldn't have blown up if it wasn't a fucking Just Blaze beat to begin with.
Right.
He was talking shit on somebody.
He wouldn't have blown up if it wasn't on that Def Jam wrestling game.
Well, he gets played in NBA still, too.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Anyway, and it's been a couple movies, you know what I'm saying? It was in Save the Last Dance. But, You Got Served.
But I feel like that's the same thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's just
it
trying,
is, yeah.
He's just trying to say.
Anyway, and it hurt me because I like Budden, but I like his music. But
he
he's
talks
such a,
so much shit on everybody. It's just like, shut the fuck up,
I
dude.
Wish he would.
Just shut the fuck up.
Facts.
And I so, you know, and the man. Worst part, too, is a lot of times he has a really relevant point, but then he tries to drive it home so hard that you're like, you know what?
Never mind. You just sound like a fucking...
Like, you turned me off to it, you know what I mean? Like, you might have
yeah,
been
you had
the
me
right
in the,
track.
At the
yeah.
start, but you just won't shut the fuck
yeah,
up about it.
Yeah, that's Joe Budden.
And
yeah,
he's
sure.
so high and mighty, too, and it's like,
yo,
you, got
but you,
no,
know what? Hey,
you got no leg to stand on.
He got punched in the mouth by the Wu-Tang for and this is way before he blew up with Slaughterhouse the second time, because there was a 10-year, you know what I mean? He'd already fallen off. His first track during Def Jam Vendetta days fell off, came back up with fucking Slaughterhouse, and... But he was talking shit on the Wu-Tang and thought, you know what I mean, that he could say just whatever the fuck he
Damn.
Wanted to. And
did
them
you,
niggas punched him in his fucking face in public.
Did you see Adam from No Jumper called Drake and asked him who he thought the big three in hip-hop podcasting was? And Adam said he thinks it's him, No Jumper, Vlad, and... DJ Academics.
That's fucking
Drake tells him.
Not even.
Drake tells him, you got to kick Academics off and put Joe Budden on. And then that's your top three in hip-hop podcasting.
I'd say, yeah.
Oh, hip-hop. I thought, I thought you said podcast.
No, hip-hop
podcasting.
I definitely say kick Academics off. I would put fucking $1 million worth of game.
I wouldn't
there
call.
There you go.
I'll
fuck with $1 million worth of game. No Jumper and Vlad are probably the top three.
All right. No Jumper. I mean, he for the most part, they're interviewing like nobodies, though.
You're tripping. He does.
Yeah, man. He's right.
You're tripping, bro.
Yeah.
So he's not interviewing any classics. So if you if that's what you're saying, then yeah, he'll get like a classic hip hop artist every once in a while. He's had ICP on there like four times. He's had a few older artists, but a lot of his shit is geared at the younger crowd.
Younger, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, bro, he has a drill rapper artist on there fucking every other day.
No, I'm not talking shit about
and
Adam.
He has, now he's having a lot of the cholo rappers, like the Norteño Sureño rappers on there is a big thing now. So he pushes
he
the
knows
gang,
his audience.
He pushes the gang rap thing. So it's a lot of underground artists. It's not a lot of mainstream artists.
Okay, I should.
He actually did Tekashi's first big interview.
Okay, I shouldn't have said. I shouldn't have said nobody's, but it's more like underground shit that, right? Like what you're saying.
But
it's not underground. It's a lot of drill artists, or it's just a lot of gang rap.
Yeah.
Is the best way to say it. It's a lot of gang rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because a lot of his co-hosts are gang members.
Yeah. Well,
that
Crip. What's that guy?
Brick Baby?
No, the dude, you can't understand
Crip
a
Mac.
Word. Yeah, you can't understand a word that fucker says.
On 55th Street.
I can't understand half of what Kodak Black says, if we're being honest.
Hey, listen to that Busta Rhymes album, bro. He has a song with Kodak, and I had to listen to it like five times. Like, damn, did Kodak just out-rap Busta?
On Busta's new album?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Oh, my God.
And actually, yo, he did good on that song with Dochi. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, I think
I got to
Kodak's,
break that one for
I
Wyoming,
all
by the way.
Kodak's features are super fire, bro. I think he out-rapped Gucci on, it's called Vibin' in This Bitch.
I've heard that one.
Bro, Kodak went in so hard on
yo,
that
I'm,
shit.
I said when he's talking.
Yeah, you know no, when mean? He's talking, you yeah. can't understand a thing he's saying.
You know what I mean? Like, for real, like, I had to learn to fuck with his music. I was like, oh, all right. Because, like... Two rappers that I can't stand to hear speak are fucking Cardi B and fucking Kodak fact. Black. That's you know what I mean? Yeah, I can't stand their talking voices. For Kodak, is I just can't understand that motherfucker. Cardi is just too ghetto.
She's annoying.
She's got that weird fucking
here's my
forced
thing.
Accent.
Here's my thing about Cardi.
Well, she's not, first of all, she's not black. Let's throw that one out there.
Here's, you know here's mean? My thing about Cardi.
She's like Puerto Rican.
She blew up on Love and Hip Hop.
Cuban B.
When she was... She was just a ratchet bitch on Love and Hip Hop, yeah. Right? She was like stripper somebody's ratchet, nasty yeah. Ratchet side piece that was obnoxious and annoying and got a lot of TV time, fucked up grill. That's why I didn't like her, because you know why? She reminded me of a bitch from Butch's, like on The Weeknd. And so here's my thing. When she
is
blew
a fucking
up,
hood rat,
so
dude.
Here's my thing. When she blew up, right? This is what I tell every bitch who loved Cardi B. Hold on. If she was just a bitch at Butch's that acted that way, would you still like her?
No.
Because I promise you wouldn't.
Because you'd be like, oh, my God.
When you think about how, you know, for somebody that's in Butch's every week, because I DJ there, there's a lot of the motherfuckers that click the fuck up, which is why they love her and Sexy Red and all that. I do like her music. I just don't like her talking.
Hey, I'm going to say Cardi has a lot of bars. Bro, I've grown accustomed to say that Cardi's got some hard-ass bars, bro. I'm not going to say she don't.
And she's done some shit with Drake and whatever.
She's done some shit with a lot of motherfuckers.
No, I know, but was that her? And then her, I think it was her, Drake, and Weezy, right?
Nah,
like
that's
they
Nicki.
Did a. Was it Nicki Minaj?
That's Nicki.
All right, yeah.
Young
what,
Money.
What song was that?
There's a bunch of them, but probably the motto.
No. It was Truffle Butter, right?
Yeah. We had to pull that one off the radio.
Speaking
of
that,
which was hilarious because motherfuckers didn't know what that meant.
All right, check it out.
Wait, hold up. Remember your thought. I'm going to go with Ether as my number one fucking battle rap track. But one of the ones I think is the most disrespectful is Hit 'Em Up by Pac.
I think No Vaseline was more disrespectful.
Yeah,
this motherfucker started.
But
off
yeah,
by
he's calling. He is calling.
Wife.
Yeah, but he's talking about.
He's talking about
no Vaseline.
Being
he's basically saying he's fucking you in the ass.
Yeah, he's calling you gay, dude.
Yeah,
I just had like, you know what I mean. I was a big Biggie fan, so that would hurt. And like I said, and I wasn't in the States when it got dropped. You know what I mean? So that one hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? Because I've been a Pop fan way before the whole fucking California Love. Like I was Pop rocking with fucking Digital Underground. You
so,
know what I mean?
The way that one went for me was like I grew up. I'm from here, so we got West Coast rap.
Of course,
blew up here first. So to me, that was like, you know, when you go through your drinking alcohol phases, Tupac and Dr. Dre and all that shit. To me, was like my 40s and my gin and juice and shit like that. And then when I got older and accustomed, you know, more to hip hop, when my taste buds mattered a little bit more about what I was listening to, that's when I got more into the East Coast shit. You know what I mean? Because before that, I grew up a lot on the West Coast and Midwest shit. And then when I got older, I grew more into East Coast shit, you know, more into the roots of hip hop. But the more who I am now as a hip hop fan, I appreciate all the lanes of all the talented
Facts.
Artists. But my lane is more the vibe shit now. Like, for real, it is. I like a lot of, and they still have to be able to rap. You know what I mean? Like, Honeycomb Brazy. I love Honeycomb Brazy. He's one of those ones where you talk about, like, you can't really understand what the fuck he's saying when he's talking. But when you listen to his music, and he freestyles everything, too.
Right.
So just to be able to have the ability to be able to freestyle an entire song, let alone, this fool drops hella projects. Mm-hmm. But the realness, too, I love that shit about Honeycomb Brazy. So what was the point I was even fucking getting to?
We're just talking about, you know, what you respect as far as music.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a vibe type artist, right? I don't want to break out the history book and the thesaurus every time I listen to a song in this age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes you just want to vibe out and not have to think about it.
There you
but
go.
See, yo, and you know what? And I agree with that. But, yo, it's me as an artist, vice as a fan, I'm always going to go bars first.
I think it depends.
Me too, bro. I try to have a metaphor for every bar.
For me,
artist.
It depends on the mood I'm in. Like, I think, and that's a lot of people. Like, sometimes you don't want to think about what you're listening to. You just want to jam out and have and just, like, kind of feel the beat. But sometimes you want to listen to some shit, and you really want to think about what they're saying. So it just depends on what mood I'm in.
I think, yo, the
and
beat,
would
the
you
beat
say
too.
That's the same for you?
Say it again.
Mood.
Would you
know
think
your question?
Would you say that's it's kind of the same thing for you, or?
Yeah, no, because I do. I definitely love the like Immortal Technique's too much for me nowadays. You know what I mean? To me, he's a novelty. To me, I can't. I'm never just going to sit there and be like, bro, let's bump some Immortal Technique.
Yeah, let's throw on fucking, what was that track that everybody was playing?
Dance with the Devil.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Can't listen to that no more.
I'll say that, but at the same time, I like,
you know what I'm talking about?
I like Lil Wayne, you know what I mean? I love Lil Wayne. Nobody's going to never be able to ever even say that he isn't top notch, but you can listen to him a lot easier than you could listen to Eminem. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, because to me, Eminem and Lil Wayne are like, but their music styles are different. You know
I agree
what I mean?
With that. Yo, and honestly,
but
that's...
But lyrical ability, yeah. I'm not going to say one is better than the other.
Now, see, and that's why, like, that is a damn good fucking analogy, yo. I would say for me, everybody knows, like, I could never go through a point where I'm not listening to Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? But there's also nine motherfuckers with nine different styles. You've got... Over the years...
But you're not just listening to Wu-Tang.
No, like, but I'm saying, but, yo, like, there's never a time... ever where I can't go, like, if I can't figure
it's
out what
it's gotta
I
be on in
to,
the shuffle
that's yeah. 3-6 I listen to 3-6 7 days a week, every single day, every single year for the last 20 something years, but I don't listen to non-stop 3-6, but I get what you're saying. They're in my constant shuffle. I have to, they're right. Just there. That's a permanent part
and
of
honestly,
who I
yo,
am.
I've like, got three. There's only like 4 or 5 songs by them, but them 4 or 5 songs,
god, I love 3-6
so hard.
Seeing what I do is, you know, there for a long time, I didn't think I liked any of the new shit that was coming out. Like, as I've gotten older, I can, like you said, like that refining your taste buds. Now I can look at shit objectively and just be like, all right, this is tight. Like, so shit like Suicide Boys or Tara Reid or
I
like,
fuck with Suicide Boys.
Oh fuck yeah!
They're kind of like white boy vibe shit, bro.
It's a lot like 3-6.
They use
a
lot
of
3-6 samples. They sound a lot like a watered down Scarecrow from 3-6.
So it's my mix would be like that Wu-Tang fucking a lot of the older shit like so, and you know some of that. Like, there's some Drake songs in there. There's fucking,
and yo,
you know,
and,
Tupac
yo,
and Biggie. Like,
I
all
gotta
that
throw
shit.
That drill shit in too. You know what I mean? Like, that was some shit. Like, them beats,
or even fucking Ludacris, like his old
fuck,
shit.
I love Luda.
Yo, Luda needs to be in more motherfuckers' top 20.
Straight
top
to like, straight the
fucking
fuck
word of mouth and shit.
Yeah, bro, like, all of them. Yeah, Chicken and Beer, Word of Mouth. What was the Red Light District? I love that goddamn album.
What was it?
Back for the first time.
Back for the first time. Like, all that shit is fucking...
The first song on Back for the First Time is in my top 3 Luda tracks all time.
Oh, yeah. There's
one on Chicken and Beer that's got fucking Titty and Chingy on it. I can't remember what that one was. Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Got like fucking...
I was so happy they did that one when he came here. That I was like, oh, please, please, please. And they did it. I was like, yes.
One thing I wanted to say...
Scarface and shit.
About the... Well, we was talking about 3-6 and while we was talking about all the rap shit that Metro... The Metro Boomin and Kendrick and Future
right.
track, there was three six samples that they used in that 3-6 sampled from something else to make their songs.
So it's samples shit. Being sampled.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, yeah, but the reason that happens is because a lot of times the new producers don't know the original where that shit came from.
So they used from 3-6, because 3-6 used samples to make these songs too. So Metro used... a sample from Riding Spinners. It's part of the main melody. And then he used Who Run It.
That's my shit. That's my favorite 3-6.
Bro, he used part of that. And then the Easy sample mm-hmm. from He Was a Thug from Around the Way, mm-hmm. how it's chopped. That's from the hook in Riding Spinners.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
Yes, bro.
That.
Yes.
Once a thug from around the way.
Yeah, I didn't know they used that on Riding Spinners. Yeah. That's not one of my favorite ones by them. So, word.
Yep. So when you listen to the fucking go listen to Riding Spinners. It's in the hook, bro. Okay. The He Once Was It, but how it's chopped up in the Kendrick and Future in them.
Yeah.
That's from 3-6.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
when I heard it, I just thought about it.
Now that I just said that, everybody go and listen to Riding Spinners and Who Run It.
All right.
Those
go watch that video too. That
Future sample both those.
All right. I got some questions that me and Vanessa thought up this week. First of all, this one's for Nike. All
right.
And this is straight from Vanessa. She asked, if aliens landed.
All right.
And they asked you before they showed up, they hit you up, they brought you up on the ship, and they're like, hey, we want you to DJ our arrival. What are you playing?
for one song that I think would get everybody hype right now, I'm playing fucking Jack Harlow.
What?
Which one?
The fucking
big I'm Vanilla Baby.
Yeah. I'm fucking, rocking that one.
For that, one. That shit is on. Like every time I
hit, don't even know what it is. What is it?
Oh, you haven't heard that?
Bro, I'm so far out of the mainstream.
Yo, I've been a Jack Harlow fan since way before he blew
up. It's all right. I've just heard it a fucking million times.
I hate the fact that we fucking played it too much on the radio.
It's like every hour for damn sure.
Yeah, I'm so far out. Bro, if it's ever my favorite artist, Tupac and Biggie, I will not play fucking Juicy or fucking Dear Mama or none of that shit my playlist. Yeah.
Big Pop is still on mine.
Singles.
But anyway, it's called Lovin' On Me. Honestly, I think the reason that that song blew, I knew it was the very first time I heard it.
I think
it was
the sampling
blow.
In that song is great.
It's not a sample. It's not a sample. It's just a drum.
Oh, that was that? No. I'm talking about like the voice sampling. Is that from older shit?
You're talking about Glamorous. That one's.
No, I'm not.
There's not a sample in
that was all recorded for that track.
Yeah.
It sounds like older shit.
It's the same. It's almost the exact same beat as Truffle Butter, though. It's the exact same speed.
Yeah.
The 808s are similar. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to fuck with the BPMs at all. I can go from Lovin' On Me to fucking
So you're playing,
Butters.
That's your pick for Aliens.
For right now?
Aliens are landing.
Right now.
And you're playing.
As a DJ, because if I play that song, and this is for me playing it now, anytime I play that song, the dance floor is fucking packed. Especially if there's more white people than black people, and motherfuckers is going to go ape shit.
Yeah. Okay. Next, what are your guys' feeling on like emo type rap, like Lil Peep and shit like that? Because like personally, I like Lil Peep. It sucks.
I'm glad that's what you addressed it as, because a few years ago, it wasn't called that.
No, it wasn't.
It was basically
SoundCloud rap. But me and Duke mm-hmm. Wallace actually on the Noise from Nowhere podcast, you could look this up a few years ago, we was calling it emo rap.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
I'm not going to say we were the first to do that, but
I called it like, so me and her were hanging out and listening to that one time when I was like trying to describe it, because it's not really, Lil Peep doesn't rap. It's more like, it's like grunge hip hop. And that's the way I described it, but I think emo is a better description.
I think nowadays it's more common too. Nike, you probably noticed it, and I'm not meaning it in any kind of racist type of way, but if you've noticed, a lot of younger generation black people dress and are into culturally more quote unquote white things, like we're not going to say anime's white thing, but in America, it's a very white people gravitate towards Japanese culture type thing, like as far as the dressing up and the makeup and stuff. So I'm homies with this chick on Instagram, and she's one of those people that like goes overboard in the way that it's almost punk. That's right. The best way to say it, I guess.
Or like goth.
It's almost punk. It's like a hip hop punk is like, I know you have to know what I'm talking about. It's like kind of like, it's a style of black chicks in bigger cities that aren't like hip hop, but it's like hip hop punk almost.
Yeah, wearing fishnets and the.
Yeah, so I think that's the SoundCloud rap or emo rap or whatever you want to call it is almost like a deviation of the younger generation of black people not necessarily being what we grew up with, right?
Yeah,
like
if
you're
a
gangbanger in our generation, you're a Cripper of Blood. Or if you listen to rap, it's East Coast, West Coast. Or, you know, nowadays it's more broad. They listen to, you know, a wider range of things. It's not just so secluded and isolated and closed-minded.
And I don't think it's just a black thing either. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. But it's I'm going to say, because here's the thing. The reason why I say that is because in America, and nobody can argue this, black people are the trendsetters in entertainment.
Yes.
And so whatever, dress, music, sports, movies, shows, everything you could think of is heavily influenced by
black
culture.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So that's why I say that. So now what I'm saying is the younger generation of black people is kind of deviating away from that and sliding back more towards quote unquote white culture. And it's not an overall,
and honestly,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing
either. It's kind of been going that way for a while. Because if you remember, like from the early, like the outrageous baggy clothes style of the early 2000s, late 90s, to like when Dipset really started blowing up, like a lot of the whole skinny jeans and the rocker style, like before you had like
ASAP and Wayne, kind of.
But before they were doing, like, I mean, like by the time they started adopting it, like Jim Jones was one. Him and Juelz were doing that shit before.
I was thinking of Cam, and when I think of Cam, I think of him more like how me and you used to dress, like the tall tees and the big pants and kind of how your hat and shit, kind of like that's what I think of.
But
more
Jimmy
was wearing them pants and shit, the studded pants and shit like
with
that.
The chain for the wallet, you know what I mean? And the shit that fit, not so much tight.
More of the rockers look. Okay, bringing that to rap, kind of more like Uzi Vert is the extreme version of what they started then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
So that's
more what I'm saying. The Uzi Vert look is more what I'm saying for like the younger generation.
Which is also not. I'd also throw in that non-binary shit. Goes into that as well too. Because sometimes you might see them motherfuckers in like a dress or a skirt. And yo, that's not my thing.
To each their own.
And he definitely has a woman. You know what I mean? But he's not above wearing. Like I saw the outfit that he had.
But we also know that nowadays it's a very common thing for men to be feminine and for their women to dominate them in masculine ways. So you know what I mean.
I worry about getting canceled a lot. Motherfuckers don't have to because I'm on the radio. I am so careful with damn near everything the fuck I say. I'm a little bit more open for this because why the fuck not? But you know what I mean? Like, I have to be careful with everything. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where I have to make sure I get motherfuckers' pronouns correct. You know what I mean?
See, I don't even understand what none of that means. I don't mean any disrespect because I believe to each their own. There has been all those things in human history in every single culture throughout history until the Victorian age of the world. I'm not knocking any of that because I don't have to live nobody else's life, right? So however a person lives their life, I'm just saying from a hip-hop standpoint, it's different. It's not my lane. And do we even classify it as hip hop or what is it?
No, I would classify like
peep. I have a problem.
Classify peep as like hip hop, but like
I was talking more like the Young Thug dress wearing Uzi Vert.
I think it's a subgenre.
Hip hop is one thing. Like we've given it its own subgenres. Like we police ourselves,
right?
But I think that has gone away a lot more in the last 10 years. And I think we need to have these subgenres actually being listed. Like you know, you have punk rock, you have fucking hair metal, like all these different types of rock, different kinds of jazz, different kinds of R&B, funk. I think we need to start actually classifying these different types of hip hop because if we don't,
I think we do though.
We do. Like I said, we police ourselves. My issue with it is when you have a motherfucker like
you mean in like the mainstream?
Yes. And my reason for saying it is so you don't get a Post Malone that's winning best fucking rap album. You know what I mean? I'm not hating on Post by any means at all. What I'm saying is because we don't have these genres to split this shit up, you may have a motherfucker that sings 80% of his album, and then you have a motherfucker like J. Cole that's not even getting nominated just because he spits on it. It's straight up. You know what I mean? I think we need to have these different.
Yeah, it's about what's more popular than what's.
So, yeah,
what's
so
actually.
I think we need to. If we have these genres, we can give an award for each genre because we don't do that. And I think a lot of motherfuckers.
Do they do that in like the. Like, what is it, BET awards and shit
like
that?
No, they're all like best artist, best album, best single, newest artist.
So you're saying they need to broaden that?
I agree. I agree 100%.
I agree with that. Yeah, 100%. So just overall feelings on that, like people like people like.
It's not my thing, but I don't. You know, my kids love that shit. You know what I mean? My teenage
daughters love that. Personally, I love. Little Peep, especially you got guys like Ghost Mane and shit like that. I don't know if you'd call Ghost Mane.
I wouldn't even put him in any hip hop sub genre.
Ghost Mane? What would you put him in?
EDM.
But he's rapping though.
There's EDM trap. Trap music.
So
it's a sub genre
like screamo
of EDM
rap
where they rap
like screamo rap because he does a lot of
yeah. But I wouldn't put him as rap. No, I wouldn't put him as rap at all. Not any. I wouldn't classify Limp Bizkit as rap, but I love Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, same.
But
same.
I wouldn't classify him as rap.
Facts.
But they're rap, right?
They changed so much over the years.
But yo, to answer the question, yes, motherfucker Fred Durst rapped. They had a DJ, Muggs, you know what I'm saying? But we never classified them as rap. So that's further going with my point, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many, and even his point to how much black culture has changed so much. Like,
didn't they call Limp Bizkit, like, noir metal?
I don't remember what they, like, if you go Wikipedia something like that.
I think it was something like that.
I don't think they ever called him metal. They called him rock, but.
Yeah.
Well, their first album.
What they called him, rap rock?
Their first album was, like, kind of punk-ish, like, $3 Bill, y'all.
I would have classified him as rock, rock.
Because
ska artists are basically rapping
and kind of reggae. Yo, he was right though. They actually fucking classified them as a new metal band. I never would have thought that.
That's
the first thing it says. Holy shit!
Right, so it's them, and then you got like shit like Linkin Park, and they're rapping.
Nobody ever considered them rap.
Yeah, but they're not rap. It's like a mixture.
Fort Minor came out later and did do a rap album.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the dude from Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I fuck with
him. Yeah, well, he's a real MC.
I didn't like his voice. He had bars, but it was kind of weird to listen to.
Yeah. He sounds kind of like a...
Did the fucking production for that fucking martial arts movie, The Raid.
Who?
Mike Shinoda from fucking
Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Who was the group of DJs from that era? It was like four of them. X something.
Soul Assassins?
Nope. X something. Something X or X something.
The Executioners?
It was like four DJs.
That was the Executioners. They started off as the X-Men, but they had to change it.
There you go. Yep.
They were a group.
Yeah, they were a DJ group.
They still are, but one of them's dead. Fucking Rock Raider passed away.
One of them had something to do with that, though, right?
With what?
So what, they would just pass the... How would they do
that? They have to look them up. They did videos and shit. Yeah.
Like, when I learned how to DJ, I fucking studied their video. So, Grandmaster Rock Raider, because the only way you can...
Oh, that reminds me. I need your help. I bought a set of turntables I need to learn how to use.
I got you.
I bet.
All right, next question.
Shout out for bringing him up, yo. Hell yeah.
And this is a good one. This is from Vanessa. She says, your favorite female artist, or do you have any at all?
Of course, Digger from Flip Mode Squad. That was, I didn't even have to think about that. When it comes to bar for bar, Rod Digger would blow out most fucking dudes. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
No diddy.
For real.
As far as bar for bar, oh my goodness. She was so sick with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jean Grey was hard.
Yes. But yo, did she ever drop an official album?
I just heard her on Features.
Yeah, I have a bunch. She's like on a bunch of soundtracks from the late 90s.
What's her name? Lady of Rage don't get no credit now.
Lady of Rage. Didn't she pass away?
I'm not sure. My favorite favorite all time is Gangsta Boo. But
those are the two I was gonna say, Gangsta Boo and Lady Rage.
Gangsta Boo's my number one all time.
So you ain't gonna catch me, Baby D.
And then nowadays I really, really heavily fuck with Glorilla. Lotto, I don't really like her songs, but as an artist, she can rap her ass off.
Yes, she can.
Same with Cardi. There's a couple songs. Mostly features of her on other
Cardi's
shit.
First album is fucking gangster.
I
heard she had ghostwriters on it, but I know she can actually spit.
Nicki
Minaj, though, of the new era, Nicki's she's the GOAT of the new era.
Even Lil Kim back in the day.
I never got into Lauryn Hill. I'm not going to front.
When
I say Lauryn Hill, I meant Lil Kim. Fuck with Lauryn Hill.
I was going to say Lauryn Hill.
Okay, Lil Kim.
I think she was the first. Like, could sing
and rap
equally as good.
Yeah, she has.
I love Missy, but yo, Missy is definitely.
I forgot about Missy. I love Missy.
Missy Elliott is definitely a better singer than she is a rapper. She can rap.
Who is
Missy Elliott?
She's a better singer than she is a rapper.
You know, bars. Elliott has.
She makes club music and it's gangster shit. But I'm saying,
especially in the early 2000s, she was on.
Before that,
she's so artistic. I love her, bro. She's the definition of an artist.
Yo, her
Timbaland, ain't no stopping me. Copywritten,
Static Major.
No copy me.
Static Major was on Lil Wayne's song. Fucking the real commercial fucking one that was on radio and shit.
Lollipop?
Yeah. All right, so Static Major, he passed away. Like, he's in the music video, but it's dedicated to him. He had some disease. It wasn't like he was shot or nothing. But Static Major, fucking Missy Elliott, and Timbaland produced and wrote, like, everything for their crew. So everything for Aaliyah, everything for Genuine, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Static was also in a group called Playa. It was three guys, you know what I mean?
Missy Elliott sings the hook on Nobody's Perfect for J. Cole.
Oh, word?
Yep.
Damn. Yep.
I didn't know that one. I think she produced it, too.
And Lee says Lauryn Hill only dropped two albums, but she's super talented. But are those solo albums and then on top of the Fugees?
She had the Fugees.
Yeah, there were three
Fugees
albums.
On top of
albums.
The Fugees, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that Fugees shit is just...
Wyclef was my favorite. I love Wyclef. I fucked with Wyclef the most solo out of all the Fugees.
But together they were.
I fucked with Lauryn more. But
together they were,
I think
one
she was
of them.
A better spitter.
They were one of them groups though that, you know. That,
I liked Wyclef's vibe.
That's like a essential hip hop, like old school.
Man, yo, The Score, which is their second album, is one of those five mic albums. It's fucking classic. It's perfection. You know what I mean? And if you haven't listened to The Score, fucking go bump it. Even the fucking skits on there are hilarious to this day.
Yeah. That's kind of a lost art, like skits on albums. Well, albums
are
lost
art.
You know, I like to go through and listen to a lot of my one of my favorite classic hip hop albums of all time is Only Built for Cuban Links.
Oh, number one album to me ever in history.
Too many skits.
My number one album would be...
Too Many Skits.
Yes.
All the bars are sick. All the beats are fucking top-notch. Just...
But but there's a reason for that.
I get it, because it's built like a movie line.
Yes.
A movie plot. I get it. But
matter
sometimes
fact,
I just want to listen to the fucking song.
I get it. Yo, and that's why I have them, you know what I'm saying, separated. But yeah.
There can be too much of it. But
and
like,
it was, yeah. But
Wu-Tang was the king
song.
Of too much skits. I'm not going to front.
But right. they were...
It was to a point. I get it. It was part of their artistry.
Matter of fact, fucking... Oh, boy. Chow Yun-Fat's in the movie, but he's not the one that produced it. But The Killer, you know what I mean? Which they're doing a remake of. Fucking 30, 40 years later. So that's all those samples, the movies, you know what I mean, that were playing in the background. It's all from The Killer. If you've never seen The Killer, go fucking watch The Killer. It's fucking gangster. But the dude that directed and wrote that film told RZA, do with it as you will. Yeah, he didn't have to pay them shit. Like, that is some crazy shit to do in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, that's how much an Asian guy respected what they were doing, that he let them, you know, run with it. But yo, only if you ever ask me what the best hip hop album is of all time, it's always going to be Only Built for Cuban Links. And for one, I also think it's the most impactful, because before that album, you didn't see rappers that had fucking 2, 3, and 4 names.
Like, mine is Illmatic. The best hip hop, top to bottom, beats, lyrics, everything, just hip hop. To me, Illmatic embodies hip hop.
It does. I like Stillmatic better for beat wise.
I don't
personally.
Mine's Southern Playalistic.
God, yeah,
that's a good one too. And honestly, I think that's the best Outkast album.
Oh,
I know
fuck
a lot
yeah.
of people. There's a lot of people.
AT Aliens is
beats
good.
Beats wise, I 100% agree with you. I think
it's
lyrics
so,
wise,
it,
ATL or
AT Aliens.
Aquemini and yeah, I think Aquemini is better lyrically.
What stands out to me for Southern Playalistic is it's so raw. Like
raw. That's like the 3-6 version of the South.
Yeah, and just like Mobb Deep's fucking, and technically it was their second album. Like fucking
they're recording in the dungeon.
In a basement,
a dirt floor basement. Like it's just so.
And that's how most
it's
of the,
so.
Yeah.
It's so, it just oozes.
It's raw. You're
it
hungry,
oozes hip hop.
Yeah. You're hungry.
And you could tell, they're hungry. Like, this is their fucking 18, 19 years old, just fucking...
Nas kind of did on his first album. He kind of got the alley-oop like Pac did with his first album on Death Row. Like, he had all the superstar producers there to, like, ready to help him create.
But, he had all the superstar producers, but he didn't have not one fucking superstar feature. AZ is the only person that's even featured on that album.
And so Southern Playalistic, it's the polar opposite of that. It's just... Fucking basically,
but yo, they started a sound too. Like, you know what I mean? That whole Dungeon Family sound started right then,
bro. Future came from the Dungeon Family.
Yeah.
They helped create the sound of the
South.
The South, like along with the Goody Mob and shit.
That's all.
I mean,
Dungeon Family.
Like before that, you know, they were kind of mimicking the East and the West Coast in the South. And
some. That's so some, then, yeah, some.
I mean, I'm sure
you can't say that. There was 3-6 was already out.
Okay.
Yeah. Fucking I'm Starface. The
Texas rap was big. There was
Atlanta wasn't big, but yeah.
I'm just saying it really helped put, like, the South on the map.
It put Atlanta on the map. Well, because
Uncle Luke was doing his damn thing.
In Miami, yeah. It put Atlanta on the map.
Yeah, there you go.
It put Atlanta on the map. There was already, and I think it also put it so down.
It kind of pulled it all together.
Yeah. Because before that, they weren't, you know what I mean? Like, for East Coast, it was Philly, New York, Connecticut, you know what I'm saying? Even D.C., California, its whole fucking state is big enough to be a whole coast by itself. Yep. But yeah, but I think they did pull all of the South together, you know what I mean?
You know what I like a lot? And ASAP was the first person I noticed this being a regular thing, was he took sounds from other coasts and made them East Coast.
Mate, for your generation, I definitely see why you said that.
Because he uses a lot of 3-6 samples.
But yo, Cam did that shit too. And probably because he went to college, he was playing basketball. But Cam used a lot of fucking down South shit. Matter of fact, he used to even like do the draw the rap fast kind of shit too. Jay-Z did it as well. You know what I mean? So there were cats that did it. You know what I mean? I think ASAP, like, again, for this generation, definitely made it a thing again. But it was done.
He was the first person I noticed from the East Coast that had a different type of sound. Because I remember Cam, all his beats were very distinct East Coast, because they weren't like traditional East Coast sound. They weren't like the boom bap sound.
Yeah, the heat makers.
Yeah, it was a completely new East Coast sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, as far as like, ASAP Rocky uses, like, just point blank, he uses a lot of 3-6 samples, period.
The whole ASAP mob, yeah, you're right. So that's
the thing that really got me into the newer generation of East Coast artists, was that fact, because 3-6 is my number one group of all time. Just favorite-wise, I think there are definitely better. Wu-Tang are better rappers. D12 is better rappers. There's a million rap groups where they're better rappers, but my favorite collectively for me is 3-6. So
just their entire discography.
I love 3-6, bro. It's crazy
how many.
I
was just thinking about how many
of
them have passed away, yo.
Yeah,
that is insane. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They've already lost.
There's Frenchie Black's out there doing interviews without his fucking dentures even in no more.
Speaking of Crunchy, man, let it be said for there's a whole generation of motherfuckers out there, because I'm a dancer too. Like, I embody every fucking form of hip hop except for graffiti, because I can't draw and I can't read that shit. So
I do all of them, but dancing.
So Crunchy Black, thug nigga, gangbang nigga. He used to come out
Dancing. Out as the dancer.
Yeah.
Yep.
For 3-6. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So don't ever hit me with that shit. Yo, thugs don't dance. Maybe not in Casper, motherfucker.
Crunchy Black is the most gangster.
Yes.
Yep.
Most.
Yep. Hey, but there's a documentary on Netflix.
What's it called?
Something about hip hop. I don't know, because there's a gang of them now. But it goes over the Memphis sound.
Uh-huh.
And they used to have a thing called the Gangsta Walk.
Yeah.
That they would do in the clubs. Mm-hmm. And then I think the thing that I liked the most about the Memphis sound was they had like the horror-ish kind of dark sound.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that is the thing that I think appealed to me the most about them. And that's the reason why I like Suicide Boys.
Yeah, that's going to say Suicide Boys, they embody that.
Yeah.
Like, wholeheartedly.
I call it depressed white boy rap. Yeah. Because that shit is hard. Hey, anybody, my homie EP, who's always commenting on here, go check his shit out. If you fuck with Suicide Boys, he's like Suicide Boys if they could rap.
Yeah.
I swear to God, bro. I swear to God.
They could rap.
No, they can't. But
what do you mean?
That's what I mean. Okay.
How do you figure?
The ability to rhyme does not make you a rapper.
I say this all the time. Yo, let me break it down. I think anybody that wants to be a rapper can sit there with a fucking book, whether it's a damn Webster's Dictionary or not. If you can make cat, hat, and that rhyme, yo, that's... anybody can fucking do that. Yo, to spit, if you were using metaphors, similes, multi-syllable rhymes, that's what he's talking about. You know what I mean? And I don't think everybody can do that.
Well, there's definitely levels to rapping, right? Like, so, I mean, you're going to have different skill levels.
Okay, I didn't, but okay. Like what Nike just said, right? if somebody comes in a battle and that's what he say he comes in, cat, hat, rat, that.
That bro, ABC is
are you going to call him a rapper, bro, because he rhymed four things?
Nah, I don't. Maybe he's just getting started out. You know what I mean? No. It just depends on levels.
No. Okay. They do rap. They're not good rappers. There's a difference.
Okay.
I'm not going to say they don't make good music. I like Suicide Boys. I said that probably five, six times in this one podcast.
Right.
I do like Suicide Boys. I do listen to Suicide Boys, not around other people. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean they're good rappers. It doesn't.
They're not the best.
Fucking
for damn
Fleetwood Mac rhymes. Are they rappers?
Well, obviously not.
See what I'm saying? The ability to rhyme does not make you a good rapper or even a rapper.
Thank you. Because if that was the case, there was a whole bunch of football and basketball players that wish they could be.
Hey, Shaq's hard, though. Shaq's hard, though.
Oh, man, yo, I've been fucking with Shaq. Yo, Shaq's
God,
the only
Shaq's
rapper,
so hard, bro.
He actually has a discography, man. That motherfucker has like two platinum albums.
Dame has an album that nobody's ever heard of and it's hard.
I have, and I've got it on here. Yo, Dame can spit.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that motherfucker as a basketball player. Not that he's not.
That's because
he
done whooped our ass a million times. Dame is that guy for real. But
Dame Dollar.
He's got an album, and it's other than his song about basketball, the album's fire.
Yeah.
All right, last question. We got about 20 minutes. So, just to switch gears completely, I want you guys to break down your writing process. How do you get down as far as, are you sitting down with a pad and a pen? Are you sitting at the computer? Are you taking time every day to write?
I'll go first.
Just kind of break that down for me and let me know. Because everybody's got a different style for sure when it
absolutely
comes to that.
Absolutely.
So break
so
that
mine
down for me.
Is easy because, like I've said, and you've all heard me say it a million times, when I started rapping, I didn't want to be a rapper, quote unquote. That's not the lane I was trying to get into. I was more like Jim Jones when he first started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The the capo. That's what I was trying to be. But it just so happened that I also had bars and I also hung out with all these rappers. And so it just happened the way it did. But my writing process has always been, I can't write without a beat. I can't.
You got to listen to the beat.
I can't write something and then match it to a beat successfully.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to just say all my flaws first because that dictates what I can't
do. I wouldn't
say
that's a flaw.
You think that's a flaw?
Knowing what I can't do. Yeah, I do. But I feel like a lot of rappers, I know personally, can write a whole song and then match it to a beat and still have it be flawless.
Would you call it like a crutch almost?
No.
Well, then why call it a flaw, though?
Because
it holds you back.
I grew up in the era of MCs, of real MCs, right?
Uh-huh.
To where you have to be multifaceted. Like what I was just saying, the ability to rhyme does not make you a rapper, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the things that I can't, another thing that I can't do, I can do it. I don't do it a lot because it's hard for me to do, and I don't like to spend that much time on music as far as writing one song. I'm not, because I spend a lot of time on music. I just don't like to waste all my energy on one song, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't storytell a lot. I don't.
Okay.
I might have a verse here or there or maybe 4 to 8 bars where I'll tell a little something, but I'm not Scarface or Tupac. I'm not. So those are my two things. To when you're coming to my music, those aren't things that you're regularly going to get, okay? My thing, if there's a concept, I will heavily stick to that concept and basically, every single bar is going to be a metaphor. There's a song with me and my dog EP. It's called Bad Guy. It's on his last album, Horns and Halos. It's because the song is called Bad Guy. I made my entire verse metaphors for villains, for mostly movie villains, right? Like I had a Tyler Durden bar, a fucking Jason bar, all these different bad guys, right? So if it's a concept, I heavily stick to metaphors about that concept. If there's no concept, if it's my song, I'm coming in raw and it's just the beat. And this is what I always tell everybody. I have it in my song called Vibrant. The beat tells me what to say, right? Whatever the melody sounds like. Doo, 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 doo. That's what my word cadence is going to be like to match. Because you hear something and I don't know if it's the same for all artists, maybe just certain sounds and they kind of sound like words. Right.
Sometimes.
So you hear like a do, 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 and to you, it sounds like a certain word cadence. and you just roll with that. So when I'm coming in from scratch, the beat tells me what to write 100% of the time. And then when I start, my first bar is usually starts with a quick two or three syllable burst of whatever those words are. And then that's what I build off of. I call it building, and then I call what's called bending bars. So whatever my last rhyme was at this bar is what the beginning of this one. Kendrick does it a lot. So your rhyme here at the end of this bar is the first one at this one and also the end at this one until you switch it. And I just call it bending bars because I'm just keeping my rhymes consistent, following each other like a snake.
I do that as far as like, and that's with my rhyme scheme. Like whatever my last bar, like, so when I'm starting with my first line, my second rhyme rhymes with that. My third line is going to begin with whatever the rhyme scheme is. And I'm going to go that whole way. Now I'm doing that if it kind of depends. So like my writing process, I can write a song without having a beat, but it is harder because then I have to find an actual beat to match that song.
And so, I've never successfully been able to do that is why I don't do that.
Okay. Just real quick. So are you sitting down like every day just writing stuff out that you might not use? Are you sitting down listening to a specific beat and then
look, I just had my dog Baby Jay just construct me this beat. Oh, turn my volume down, my bad.
Shout out to Baby Jay, Keith James.
All day. So that's what that beat said to me when he first sent it to me.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to roll with something that has all day in the concept.
But yeah, my question was just, so you're not the type, like an Eminem type that's sitting down writing just rhymes all day?
Nope. And every once in a great while I'll do that, but I'll immediately have to take it to a song because I'll lose the idea. But I don't know if it's true. I can't just write down raw rhymes and then fit it to something later. I can't do that.
And I just mean like as far as a writing practice and like writers in general will do this is like just sit down and write something just to keep yourself in that state, or you can just turn it on when you hear the beat. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. It's the beat that tells me what to say, bro. It literally tells me what to say.
Okay.
All right.
Nike.
Now
what about you?
For one, like I said, I started as a battle rapper, so it was all off the top, wet, you know what I mean, when I started. So I actually had to learn how to write songs, and it was for real. That's why so many battle rappers don't ever have a commercial career, because it's very hard to do that transition.
Yes, writing songs is a whole different animal than just freestyling.
Yeah. And it's different than even battling, you know what I mean? So for me, it kind of depends on what mode I'm in. For me to write a story, like I like writing stories because I grew up on like fucking who's one of my top 10, Slick Rick, you know what I mean? Like children's story, you know what I mean? I grew up with Scarfaces, Slick Ricks, so a lot of, even LL Cool J back in the day when he wasn't making girl tracks, there was a lot of Public Enemy, there were a lot of storytelling artists that I listened to.
Yes.
And I love that shit, you know what I mean? To be able to, like, if you can hear a dope-ass story song, you can picture it in your head. You know what I mean? You don't even need a music video. You can tell exactly how that's going to go. So I can do a story, and I don't need a beat for it. It's easier for me to find a beat to fucking match that later. Now, that's just me by myself. If I'm doing shit with my clique, you know what I mean? So, like, whether it's No Good as APN, even SMK back in the day, we would just throw on instrumentals. And then when we heard one that made that at least two of us were vibing off of, bam, then we run with it. So I do agree with a beat can definitely at least give you a subject matter or a hook, and you can run with it for that. So a lot of times I will say it's a lot easier to write when you have a beat, because the beat is going to literally talk to you, and it's super easy to go off that. I will say I don't write lyrics, though, like as far as with a pen. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie and say I'm doing that shit in my head. I'm definitely not. I have done it to make sure I could do it. You know what I mean? Like I'll write it in my head. And then as soon as I get someplace where I can type it out, I also type. I'm left-handed. My fucking penmanship is deplorable. It takes too much time for me to write. I've forgotten bars while I was writing the bar before, so it's easier just to type that shit out, because even if you have mistakes, you can go back and fix your grammar and shit like that. So right. I am all about,
so you can't read your own writing.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, so I would rather, and even more so, it's even faster for me to do it with a laptop than it is to even do it on my phone, because I'm fat fingering. So I would rather have my laptop, but there's also been times where I have actually freestyled whole verses.
What about a voice memo?
Yeah, here, I'm gonna show you right now. Can you, you got your camera? This is, so like how I said, I usually start off a short burst of like two or three syllables. This right here, the cipher that I just dropped like 2 weeks ago on my video.
Tell people where to find that real quick.
On YouTube, Osh from the Ghost, O-S-H from the
and
Ghost.
And that shit is fucking fire, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it is. I already liked it.
So right here, look, it's my first bar is smoking. I want all the tree, but the way I write is I just wrote smoking because that's what smoking. I want all the tree. Blow smoke just like a factory. So can you see that, Cluffy? Can you show them?
Bring it up a little bit. Up, right there.
They can see that?
Yep.
So that's my writing process. This is completely different than Rick Bliss, who writes bar to the beginning of the bar to the end of the bar, margin to margin. I write rhyme to rhyme. I write rhyme to rhyme. So that's smoking. I want all the tree. That's my first bar. Blow smoke just like a factory. Go dumb. This beats insanity.
So you break it down into like rhymes. Smaller parts.
Into rhymes. So I can read it rhyme to rhyme. Because if I pack like, I don't know, on average, probably four rhymes into one bar.
And
so
you,
it's harder for me to read that in
so
one
you can
continuous
keep track
line.
Of it. You can keep track of it visually.
Yes.
Now, yeah, and then we're completely different because, you know, so like, this is one. This is a remake I did with Aquil a couple years that we've never released.
That's how Rick Bliss writes.
So this is Love and Basketball.
You're bringing in.
Dun, da, 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 which I need to talk to Aquil because hopefully we're going to drop that this year. So this is I wrote a song called Love and Basketball after the movie came out. It had nothing to do with the movie.
I love that movie.
Like I love chicks and I love basketball. So it was real easy for me to write my love for this girl.
I love chicks at, basketball.
As an analogy. Me, I'm an English major, so I write. It's so like people used to. I remember fucking the twins, Roy and Ryan.
Ryan
like
was they, in the live a little bit
and
ago.
And actually, we're dropping a track together next week.
Ryan or Roy?
But the very first time I recorded with them, they were shocked that I went in there and one taked it. You know what I mean? And it's because I write the way I read. You know what I mean? So I put commas. If there's a or there's an inflection in my voice.
You put that in there?
I put that in there. You know what I mean? So I don't have, you know what I mean? And in the same way, like even like
Seuss kind of does something like that.
The very first time we did a song with Aquil, and I told him how I wanted the hook to go. Like, I gave him, like, da 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 da. And then I gave him the words. And he was like, yo, how the fuck was he able to just go in there and do that without ever hearing it? I was like, because there's commas. He knows where to start and where to move on. It's the same thing. So everybody, again, you know what I mean? People have different writing styles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that, I know that works best for me. Because when I first started writing, I used to just do paragraphs. You know what I mean? There was no, and it was jumbled up. And the guy that taught me how to rap, and I was seven, you know what I mean? The very first time I actually started writing raps, even though they were very juvenile, but I still remember the first rap I ever wrote, you know? Like, learning how to fucking put them together like that is why I know, like, my style has always been the same, you know what I mean? As far as my writing style, you know what I mean? It can be a different subject matter, but my writing style has always been the same. And I'm one, like, we were talking about, like, the different levels of rap. Depending on if I'm doing a club song or I'm doing a love song or if I'm just doing a banger, you know what I mean, that doesn't have a hook, I try not to do just single fucking syllable raps. You know what I mean? Because that's easy for me.
Run DMC ABC shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can freestyle better than that. You know what I mean? So, and I honestly judge rappers by that. And I'm not talking about local. I'm talking about rappers, period. You know what I mean? And as I've gotten older, I still judge motherfuckers by that, but I can still listen to different things more open-minded. Before
that's where I'm at now.
Before, if you couldn't rap better than me, or at least to my level, I wasn't listening to it. Because we also had to buy shit, too. It wasn't like you could just stream shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't going to go out and buy fucking a Little Peep album.
Who was your first favorite bad rapper?
This is going to be fucking hilarious.
Snow.
No, Snow's not a rapper. That was reggae. I like that song, but he's not a rapper. That's reggae. You know what I mean? But
okay.
Fucking BG from fucking Cash Money. You know what I mean?
You know what? I used to think Crunchy Black was straight trash, but now comparing Crunchy Black bars on Classic 3-6 shit to the average rapper bars nowadays, he's pretty on par.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also learned that he's off the top on everything that he ever spit. Ever. He said he never wrote one fucking rhyme down. His shit was very simple. you know, granted that, but also he did that. So now saying that is pretty comparable with a lot of artists' skill nowadays. You know what I mean? But what was we just talking? Oh, our first favorite bad rapper.
And I fucking love BG.
And we're going to wrap it up on this one. So. All right.
I love
BG. My first favorite bad rapper was, it's got to be, it's not one. It was the Lil Jon and the East Side Boys in the Crunk era.
Okay.
Terrible, bro. Whole entire verses without one rhyme, but I loved that shit. God, I loved that shit.
Yo, but it was a feeling more than it was music. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I was heavily intoxicated in that day, so you feel that Crunk shit way more when you're faded.
Facts.
Or like ICP, even like they're pretty.
Fuck, they can rap. I'm not gonna say they can't. Shaggy Two Dope sucks, but Violent J.
I was gonna say like Shaggy's so like
he's trash for sure.
I still think even like I'm growing up in Michigan and actually knowing Eminem personally. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a year and a half older than he's 2 years older than I am because our birthdays are gonna say we're 2 years and 2 days apart. So
How old?
2 years and 2 days.
No, how old though?
Yeah, if he's
the number,
I'll be 48 this year.
Damn, so like
he's 50, motherfucker. I knew you were gonna do that. But like for real, we grew. So I know Eminem. I haven't hung out with him in like over a decade, but like I've opened up for him 4 or 5 times. Like when I first moved to Casper, he sent for me to go back to fucking Detroit to do a show for him. So regardless, I was more of an Eminem D12 fan than I was ICP. And for one, I didn't think they were really making music for me anyway. Like, ICP made that party music for what I'd say.
No, I was just like,
don't take this the wrong way, I was but talking for about Trailer like, Park White dudes. You know what I'm saying?
I was talking about, like, just, like, they had their whole gimmick and shit. Yeah. And I think Violent J, like, you're right, he is a better rapper.
Violent J can actually rap.
But I actually always liked The Dating Game. Like, but to this day, I still love that fucking song.
I mean, that's the one.
I love the whole Jekyll Brothers album.
Well, yeah,
the whole entire Jekyll Brothers album.
Riddlebox is fucking...
Riddlebox is pretty hard. I don't know. Jekyll Brothers is my favorite for sure.
I'd have to go back. Like I said, you know, being an M fan, it was like, it was unheard of. You had to choose a side.
The best rappers on Psychopathic period was Twisted.
Twisted for sure. Was sick. I don't know. ABK was hard, bro.
ABK was tight.
Was sick. Fucking Blaze.
Blaze.
Bro, Blaze was hard, bro. I don't know, bro. All Psychopathic is pretty sick except for Shaggy.
But everybody loves him.
You know, I mean, I'm not gonna. Bro,
it's like comparing ODB to the rest of Wu-Tang.
There you go. Yeah, ODB has his own lane,
but everybody loves that motherfucker. Yeah. And he is.
He took a while to grow on me for sure.
He is so trash though when it comes to.
He could spit.
And he has bars too.
I
got Wu-Tang,
but compared to the rest of them, for sure. Yeah,
I got Wu-Tang tattooed on my arm. I'm just saying, like. No hate on ODB or any of the Wu-Tang, but it's just like
That's like what I was saying about Crunchy Black. Crunchy Black.
He's probably the
rest.
Lyrically, he was the weakest.
You can get away with that if you got the charisma.
I call it style. Like Blueface, not the greatest rapper. I like his style. I'm not going front.
Yeah,
he's not the greatest rapper, but I do like his style.
Yeah, and I play his music. And that's something else I had to learn as a DJ too, man. I never would have thought when I first learned how to DJ, it was just so I could add another level to my music. You know what I mean? I was doing it for the love. I never thought I was going to be in a club DJing because I remember the exact point when I realized that I was ready to be a club DJ was fucking, and this is in the States because in Japan they loved hip hop. So you could play whatever was hot. You know what I mean? You didn't just have to play whatever was on the radio or whatever was on MTV. I missed that about fucking Japan. But when I came back to DC, I was stationed in DC, fucking Return of the Mac and what the hell is that song? The one that's talking about touching you, it basically means you're making my dick hard. I can't remember the name of that song. It's like you're backing it up on me and what the fuck is the name of that song? Anyway, I hated both of those songs. Too Close, Next by Too Close, and Return of the Mac. I fucking hated both of those songs. And in order to get a job, I knew that I had to play those in order to get motherfuckers on the dance floor. And I was like, all right, I've made
it. Yeah, when
it
comes to like DJing or whatever, it's not about what you like.
No, exactly. And any good
snakes and sparklers. Yeah. It's not about snakes and sparklers. You got to have the Husker Do's and the Husker Don'ts.
Yeah.
Word.
All right. Well, we should wrap her up on that note. O'Shea, go ahead and tell them where to find you, where to find your new
O's
shit.
O's from the Ghost on YouTube. All my shit's been going up. I love you all. Literally thousands of views in like the last 5-6 months. I've gone up over 20,000 views on YouTube alone.
Yeah.
So thank you to everybody for on YouTube. O-S-H from the Ghost. I just opened up for Chris Webby Monday night or Sunday night. So much fucking love. So shout out to you, my hometown of Casper. You can find me Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, everything. O'sh from the Ghost. O-S-H from the Ghost.
And right here on For the Love of Hip Hop.
And also O'sh Knows on YouTube, my podcast / vlog. I just did another one, dropped it the other day about Rapper's Delight, which is coming up May the 4th. I want you both there if you're not busy. I know it's a Saturday. You might not be able to make it.
I may not be able to stay. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
May the 4th.
And
Rapper's Delight. So all the local rappers, you need to come out. You need to have your tracks ready. Everybody needs to come out to support. This is what we got in this community. If we ever want something to come out of Wyoming, everybody needs to come out there and support it.
Facts.
Hell yeah. And you can find O'Shea on every episode that's coming up on For the Love of Hip Hop for the Comic Zone podcast right here. And let them know, DJ Nike, where we'll be next week.
This weekend. Wyoming Pop Culture Con. It's going to be at Macy's in the East Ridge Mall, the old Macy's building. It's going to be off the hook. The Friday night's going to be the little dance thing. I shouldn't call it a dance. It's going to be the meet and greet kind of thing at a...
What did she call it? The Pop Con After Dark?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. When is that? It's on Friday.
Well, the actual PopCon is
the
Saturday
PopCon
and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
I knew something was this weekend. Okay.
And if you want to be there, because we got an extra ticket, Bill's not going to be able to make it, unfortunately. So if you want to come and hang with us and podcast with us, during the con, I mean,
keep me updated.
I got a ticket
for
you.
We'll talk after the show, but yeah,
hell yeah. All right, nerds and hip hop fans, this has been the Comic Zone podcast for the love of hip hop.
Boom.
Catch us next time. I don't know what we will cover. We're thinking maybe Wu-Tang. We'll do like a profile episode on either like Wu-Tang.
I was thinking we should do one on coasts.
Yeah, or we could do something like that for damn sure.
East Coast, Word. Texas rap. Down south, hell west coast, midwest.
Yeah, we could do, I mean.
We groups, artists, we can, songs.
We're going to do many of these episodes so we can keep all those ideas and do every one of them. Word. So until next time, this has been For the Love of Hip Hop. Peace.
Black!